forget about the reports of looting. So there was a curfew.
There was a curfew, and you were there. I forget the exact time. I want to say, but it was like a 1 a.m. curfew, maybe midnight.
Okay.
So it was basically like bars could be open, but you had to be off the street at midnight. And it wasn't even the New Orleans police; it was the National Guard. So like,
National Guard came in to enforce it.
It was a few months of this where like if you were on the street after curfew, they arrested you, no questions asked, and you were detained until 6 a.m. No charges, nothing, but you were just detained. It happened to me twice.
What do you mean? What happened?
It's dollar day in New Orleans. It's water, eh? When babies dead in the street, it eats. It's enough to make you holler out. Like, where the fuck is Sir Bono and his famous friends now? Don't get it twisted, man. I dig you too. But if you ain't about the ghetto, then fuck you too. Who care about rock and roll when babies can't eat food? Listen, homie, man, this shit ain't cool. It's like dollar day for New Orleans. It's water everywhere. Homies dead in the street, it eats. And Mr. President's a natural ass. He out treating is worse than they treat the trash. God save these streets. A $1 per a human being. Feel like Katrina clip. See that Katrina clip. God save these streets. Quit being cheap. Your freedom ain't free. Feel like Katrina clap. See that Katrina clap. Soul survivor, God save our soul, oh God save our soul, oh God, oh God save our soul, Lord, oh God save our soul, oh God save our soul, oh God, oh God save us, God and God in saying, and for the wicked to rule the world, say God.
Okay, hello everybody, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. I have not eaten bread in fucking 2.5 days. I'm keeping Passover for the first time in like, I mean, it's been like, it had to be, well, it's over 20 years for sure. When's the last time I kept Passover? I mean, I went Israel, Yeshiva 92, 93, 94, and then maybe 1995. Either I wasn't doing it by 1995 or I still was. That would have been 50-50. But definitely 95 was the last time, if not 94. Jesus. And then for the first time in that long, 25 years, I'm fucking not eating bread on Passover. I'm staying with my folks in Baltimore. Wow. Jesus Christ. Man, that's crazy. Anyway, I don't know, whatever. I'll do it. It's just 8 days. It used to bother the fuck out of me. It used to be like, I can't do this anymore. And you'd like, I did actually just fucking crush pizza and bagels the night before and then the morning of Passover. And then, Jews can't have bread on Passover. Because when we were in a rush to leave fucking Egypt, I don't know why we're in a rush. God fucking took us out. Why would we have to rush? Dude, so the whole Seder, which is like, you just tell the story of, what you're supposed to do is tell the story of Passover, which is the Jews leaving Egypt. Jews were slaves in Egypt. I don't know if you know that. You're supposed to tell the whole story, ask questions. You're supposed to incentivize kids to ask questions. It's a whole fucking thing. It's pretty fun. But... Same thing with my fucking last hour. It's like when you come to this stuff as an adult, having not thought of it for a while, some of it is kind of ridiculous. There's like, we were in a rush. We had to leave really fast. God was like, all right, get out. Leave. It's like, why are we in a rush? You took us out. You're God. You're way more powerful than the Egyptians. Can we take like, I don't know, a couple days to pack? I mean, right? I left fucking New York because it's the fucking epicenter of the coronavirus. I took like a day and a half to pack. You know what I mean? I mean, a rental car. You got to do some shit. But anyway, so since they were in a rush, they couldn't let the bread they had rise. They were in such a rush, they had to take it out of the oven real quick. And so now we commemorate that by eating fucking crackers for 8 days and getting super constipated. Yeah, I mean, matzah's good, whatever. It's 8 days. It's not the biggest deal in the world. It really is not. But some of that shit was fucking ridiculous. Do you know the Jews, before they left, some of it's so clearly just a humans, and then like they put God into it later to try to explain, you know? One of the things was like the Jews were commanded to go to the Egyptians' houses when they left, because we killed the firstborn son, we hit him with darkness. They couldn't see. 24-hour darkness. Locust, you know, all the fucking cattle got sick. The firstborn sons dying. That was the big one. And before we left, we were instructed to go and borrow the jewelry from the Egyptians and take it with us. And later we made the golden calf out of that. I don't know if you know about any of this stuff. You might have lost me completely. But what do you mean we were asked to take the fucking gold and jewels from the fucking Egyptians? What? Why do we need that in the desert? Because that's not what happened. It's just a bunch of Jews who wanted the fucking, you know, or any nation actually. That's like, let's loot before we go. It's the same shit. And then there was another thing where it was like, slaves left, right? Let's just say God was like, you know, and whatever. And Jews go, the rest of the slaves, there weren't just Jewish slaves in Egypt. There was the most powerful country in the world back then. There was a lot of slaves. Anyone they invaded, they fucking made slaves out of. And they invaded a lot. It was the most powerful country. If you've been to the fucking Giza and seen the pyramids, you don't do that with fucking union work. Anyway, so these other slaves like, well, can we come? I see the Red Sea is split open. Do you mind if we come through with you? And the Jew's like, yeah, sure. And then they had the choice later. It's like, you can join us if you want, or you can fucking go off on your own. But you can come with us and be free. And because we gave them the option of fucking joining us, where was I going to go with this? Oh, many of them were like, we'll stay with you. We don't give a shit. Yeah, but it was like you have to convert if you're going to join and be one of us. Anyway, I forgot what. Ah, damn it! I wish I knew what I was going to say. It was something about like it was a perfect like it was something like they outbreed us, and so fuck, I don't remember what it was. It's gone. But anyway, the point is, the Seder was fucking fun. The wise son asks, why did we leave Egypt? The wicked son asks, why did they leave Egypt? He intentionally leaves himself out. I forget how fucking the Talmud is just discussing, and the Seder reminded me, it's just discussing every word and analyzing every word. So it's like, the Rabbi Hillel says, every plague was like 4 plagues, and the Red Sea was like 5 plagues, which is 5 times 4 equals 20, because each plague was like the finger, the wrath of God, the anger of God, the whatever of God, and the something of God. And then it says, the finger of God came and pointed out that this was a plague. And then later in the Red Sea, it said the hand of God opened up the Red Sea. The hand means five finger. It's just like, I mean, it's interesting, but it's fucking crazy. Anyway, so I'm doing Passover. It's not bad. It's really legit not bad. I should do a Passover Seder next year. If I remember, I'll go over the Seder completely while I still have it fresh in my memory. That's what I should do, and fucking record it. And then next year beforehand, I will put on a fucking electronic Seder for you guys, legitimately my style. We're just making fun of everything. Speaking of making fun of everything, I'm fucking teaching yoga class, legit yoga class, on my new YouTube channel. By the way, guys, this is on new, the old YouTube channel's done. We started a new one so we could fucking put multiple podcasts on there, all sorts of weird shit. Yoga, so far yoga's been the only thing. No, I put one episode up of Skeptic Tank, the Mark Norman episode. Okay, Tom Segura was going to be this week. We did it over fucking webcam with an internal mic on Tom's end. And it's not his fault, but like, it's unusable. The audio is unusable. This one that you're about to hear with Sean Patton is not the best. I'm telling you now, it's not the greatest. It's passable, but it's not the greatest. So from now on, what I'm doing is, before I do a podcast with somebody, I'm making sure they have an actual speaker they can put. You'll see. If you watch a YouTube, it's youtube.com/skeptic tank. You'll see I'm talking into a microphone and Sean Patton is talking into a fucking nothing, into his webcam. at least he's got earphones in, so he knows if he's leaning forward or back. So, like, this is what the webcam does. You're leaning forward, right? You're into it. And then you lean back, and now you're here. And the webcam doesn't know it has to go up. Well, let's go further, because this microphone is fucking sick. But so let's say it's over here, right? So this sounds a lot different than this sounds. The webcam doesn't know, then suddenly, whatever. The point is, I'm going to redo another one with Tom to promote his special, which you should watch, Ball Hog, on Netflix right now. I saw it. It's fucking sick. But anyway, I had to junk it. So there was supposed to be a podcast out 3 days ago. Then this one was supposed to come out after that. I was going to do one with a bunch of people. But from now on, I'm just sending them the fucking equipment so they can use it. Otherwise, it's a new era, you guys. We're all stuck at home. So I got to do these interviews. We got to figure out how to do it. So bear with me during these growing pains. But in the meantime, Sunday night will be up a new podcast called Sixth and Jump. Me, Dan Soder, Jay Oakerson, going over 21 Jump Street, episode by episode. You don't have to have watched any for the pilot of ours, but you will have to have watched before episode 2 of ours. You'll have to watch the first half of the pilot. Those will be up. The video will be up at Skeptic Tank, the YouTube Skeptic Tank channel. Also, yoga. Every day, I'm telling you. Every day, fucking day. I'm on day 12 already? Day 10 is up? Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I just fuck around. I took some classes, you know, back when we did the Sober October Challenge. And then me and Bert did it on a fucking, on the Practical Jokers cruise. We taught a fucking drunk yoga class. And I was like, oh, I'm doing this for sure online. I'm fucking for sure doing this. I was hooked. I was like, this was fun and ridiculous to make fun of it. And so, like, I'm going to do it. And so, you know, I was on the road too much. I didn't have time. And now I got time. Now I got time. I don't know if you guys have heard what's going on in the news. I'm trying not to fucking talk about this in podcasts as much as I can. The Sixth and Jump podcast, I don't think we mentioned it at all on multiple episodes. We've already done four. We're going to put three out right away, starting Sunday night, / Monday morning. I guess we were doing that for the people's commute, but there's no more commute. How glorious is it? There's no more. You gotta count your blessings for the little things. Anyway, the point is this. Sean Patton, I want to talk to him because this is one of the ones we are going to talk about the fucking what's going on right now. We're not going to talk about COVID and that corona shit as much. But what I wanted to know from Sean was he was in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. Sean Patton, I don't know if you know him. He's done my storytelling show that's not happening fucking multiple times. One of the best ones. If I had to make a list of top comedians, if I didn't have to make it 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, just like the best ones on that storytelling show, it would be in no order: Sean Patton, Big J Oakerson, Joey Diaz, Bert Kreischer, Ali Sadiq, wonder if I'm missing anybody. I bet I'm missing somebody. Kreischer, Big J, Sean Patton, Joey Diaz. I don't know. Of all the people that have done that show, who were like the regulars that were like, I'm missing somebody? I think there were 6 people that were like head and shoulders, like consistently the best ones you'll want to watch. And it was those. And Sean Patton, he told a story about coming out. His friend coming out during Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Anyway, the point is, he was there 9/11. Nope, not 9/11. He was there during Hurricane Katrina. New Orleans 9/11. God's 9/11. Although, unless you're Arab, then you would say also 9/11 was God's 9/11. Do you think there's any Arabs, like Muslims or whatever, I don't know, whatever the right term is, in America that are like, no, I mean, we still did the right thing there. Do you think, I mean, definitely Afghanistan and shit like that, but like, do you think there's any here that are like, I mean, no, I like America, but like, it had to be done. I feel like people have generally gotten nicer during all this. Like the fucking, you know, the hatred on the internet and everywhere where it's like, I hate this thing. This thing sucks. I think that's a lot of that's fucking gone. It's almost like pointless now. It's almost like, what are you doing? Oh, you're still doing that? That's ridiculous. Look at this person. Look what he's doing wrong. It's just like, it seems so foolish. It really is like buying fucking, going to a clothing shop right now. We're going to like Old Navy and be like, well, I want my new clothes. It's just like, what? We're not doing that anymore. Anyway, so Sean Patton was in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina and in the aftermath. And I was like, well, this, what's happening here is so similar to that. That was on a city level. And this is on a fucking, well, national and global level, interglobal level. I'll make it even bigger. Multiple planets are suffering from this shit. So I was like, Sean, come tell me about Katrina, because I want to see the similarities between what you guys went through in New Orleans then and what we're all going through now. So he came in. Sean Patton has his podcast called Five Words. It's on the All Things Comedy Podcast Network, as am I. I guess we should make Sixth and Jump part of the network too. We haven't even thought about it. No rush. It's just a co-op, really. It's not even a network. It's just a co-op. There's a website, allthingscomedy.com, but whatever. This podcast is brought to you by Hurricane Katrina, one of the most famous hurricanes of all time. Hurricane Katrina. Guys, if you're looking for a great hurricane to keep you company during this virus, I would say go to Hurricane Katrina. How many documentaries were made by Spike Lee about other hurricanes? Not many, if you ask me. I haven't done any research, but I got to believe zero. So that's it. I mean, there's nothing to promote. There's no dates. No comedian has any dates. Dude, I wonder who's going to be the number one comedian in rescheduling their dates. I know a couple that have already done it twice, and I think it's, I wonder if it's going to be like three or four times. I'm not even trying to schedule dates till 2021. If this fucking clears up, I'll figure it out. But I'm not trying. Plus, how are you going to do a show? Let's just say they go, all right, you can start going to clubs on, let's say, June 15th. Let's say they set a date. June 15th. Comedy clubs will be open. You're going to do a show for fucking 500 to 1,000 people on June 16th without having gone up on stage and however many? Listen, whatever. People, do your own thing. Whatever. My fucking standards are not everyone else's standards. You got to learn that. You got to accept the fact that your fucking moral line is not anyone else's moral line, and you got to let them have their own moral line. So, should we start the episode? So that's all this was. Sean called in. I was in my witness relocation program house, my quarantine, before I got to my parents' new place. And they were, and he was, I don't know where the, oh, he was in his apartment. In Brooklyn. And it's actually nice. These podcasts now have not only become a way for comedians to continue doing podcasts, but one, they got no dates to promote, so they're just promoting their fucking, you know, whatever sponsor, whatever's left to fucking advertise. Or me, it's Hurricane Katrina. If you go to hurricanekatrina.com right now and enter promo code SKEPTIC, you can get 10% off the rain. What was I going to say? Oh, but it's a way for comics just to fucking catch up and talk. Half of, I mean, I talked about this with Segura. Half of the fucking fun, and Rogan. Half of the fun, I wish you guys could have heard that Segura podcast. It was really funny. It was really good. We can't air it. It was just, it's going to annoy the fuck out of everybody. We can't air it because I'm scared of how we'll look. I'm just saying, like, it's going to annoy you on your ears. But half of this fun for us is just a way to fucking for us to catch up. Because what we did at comedy clubs is, let's say I would do three spots at the stand. Let's say I'd be on the 8 o'clock show, the 10 o'clock show, and the 12 o'clock show. 8:30, let's say 9:15, 11:15, 12:30. So I'd get there at 9:14, never on time, running, trying to answer texts from the fucking Jeff who's running the show, like, yeah, I'm coming. And then I had 3 hours to kill, right? 3+ hours to kill. And so you just hang out with comedians. Comedians like Sean Patton would be the stand all the time. And that's gone now. We don't get to hang with the funniest people in the world. It's just like a sucky thing. So these podcasts have really helped us fucking, you know, get our fucking talk back on. It's just helpful, like, emotionally. So anyway, it was fun to talk to Sean, fun to see him. These webcam ones will be better to see us. So if you go to the old YouTube page, I think Ari Shaffir or whatever, that's done. That's just a fucking picture with the audio over it. And I'm going to fucking delete those too. I want to send you over to youtube.com/skeptictank. That is where everything is going to be. But as always, fucking audio will be the same as ever. The audio will also have the music, as always. I will put up on the website, arishafir.com, the music choices. I don't know what I'll put for this. I got to do the music right after this. But so the audio will be untouched. It'll be all the same. Same RSS feed, all that shit. Subscribe, tell your friends. Try to spread this if you don't mind. Spread the joy. Spread the new fucking YouTube channel. And do yoga with me. I'm telling you, it's a fucking legit way to work out. I remember some of these classes. The moves are the moves. They're not going to be as intensive as a lot of these fucking teachers are going to be, for sure, because I'm making jokes the whole time, but it's fun. I was going to do it in the studio. We had this whole room set up to do that in the fucking new studio before it got fucking rained out. So this is the first one where I'm paying for a studio and not using it. Fucking thousands of dollars a month wasted. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 381. Should have been 382, except for the fucking Segura podcast, but we'll get back to it. 381. Oh, I didn't fucking even think a name for this. Katrina? Remembering Katrina? Katrina, the good old days. That's what I'll do. Because it was like... Yeah, I wish it was just a fucking hurricane that wiped out one city. Wouldn't that be great? If we could go back to that time, everyone except people in New Orleans. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 381. Don't forget to check out Sean Patton's podcast, 5 words that he does every week. But Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 381, Katrina, the good old days with Sean Patton. Hurricane Katrina, the good old days. Man, one of those two. With Sean Patton. Starts now. Here I am. Rock you like a
background right now for where you are is such a perfect visual representation of how I feel right now.
How? What do you mean?
Like it's like this. It's like dark. It's like droll but beautiful.
Yeah, it looks like Edinburgh right now behind me.
It does. Wait, did you get the email today?
Slayer, did you get it?
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. There's like they're like, please don't say anything till tomorrow when it's official. That's like, just say it right now.
Yeah, dude. It's we're not good. Yeah, like no one. I've texted like 3 people already.
I thought there was a way it would happen only because the Fringe Festival is not in
the Fringe.
It's not a festival. There's no like, you don't get in, you know? It's just like I found a bookstore that let me put a show on, so now I'm part of it.
I bet that'll still happen on some level. You know what I mean?
So I bet some local comics will be like, well, it's over, I'll do shows. Like I can't imagine Sloss not doing shows if it's like if quarantine's over by like late May.
Yeah.
Why not?
I actually imagine it's probably like the fucking, what sucks is there's going to be people who Scottish people who live in Edinburgh who for years now have made like a practice of complaining about how much they fucking hate Fringe. Uh-huh. Now it's not going to happen and they're going to be like, please come back. We like all that fucking money.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, hemorrhage, oh shit, I left every summer and then sold my apartment for fucking 30 times its value.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Right. Or I tended bar and or like, you know, some of those fucking college kids who are like, oh shit, I'm not gonna make thousands of pounds passing out flyers.
Yep.
You know?
All of it.
Yeah, like
really weird.
Yeah. But I also imagine for like a Sloss or like a, who else lives in that town? Like a what's the guy's name? He's fucking Dylan Moran. He did your show once. That guy lives in Edinburgh. Like, why not do shows? Why not just Sloss should just do the Daniel Sloss Festival? in the month.
This is his time to take over and make his own award show. You know he wants to. You know he wants to get the legs out from that festival.
Somebody fucking tell that guy. Like, just make it the Daniel Sloss Fringe Fest.
Yeah. Where are you now? At your apartment?
I am in Brooklyn, dude. I am. You know, it's like, when did you leave New York?
Shit, I just turned my phone off. I left 9 days ago.
How did you leave? Did you drive?
Yeah, we rented a car to drop off here in Baltimore.
So your lady came with you?
Yeah.
And your dog.
And my dog and Bandit. Yeah, so we got a car, loaded everything in there. I got a mid-size SUV, and they're like, hey, we're out. Do you mind if we upgraded to a plus size? Which normally I'm like, no, because it's just like, I don't need fucking 50 feet behind me, you know? But just extra gas for no reason. But then I was like, yeah, we'll see how much room we're supposed to. We filled it up. A fucking Chevy Tahoe.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Wait, like did you leave? Wait, like in the sense that did you move out of your apartment?
We took a lot. Everything we were going to need until we don't know when.
Crazy. And you're at your parents' place?
No, not yet. We're quarantining right now. So we drove down here. We came here like Sunday night, like midnight or 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And the next day, Monday, we went shopping in the morning. Fucking, hold on.
Yeah.
Technical difficulties, everyone. We're doing fine. It's just like learning curve.
Yeah. It's how many of these have you? Is this your first one? Your first
one? Went podcast? On fire first once, but it was okay. They did the setup and they did the recording. You know, and then coming in, and then what was I gonna say? Yeah, but this is the first one I've set up on my own.
Yeah, well, Bonfire. It's also like the Bonfire. It's funny when you go on there and you're like, there's so many people working behind the scenes.
Oh my god!
I mean, I guess they show that on the YouTube stuff, but it's like there's like seven people in that room.
Yeah, it's too many. It's way too many.
There's that guy who sits at the podium in the corner. Who the fuck is he?
What he you know what they need? They need the Muppet Show. Two of the two angry guys.
Yeah,
just shit on everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what Jay and Dan kind of already are. But you remember that time? This was like 3 years ago when you had just you came back from Asia.
Yeah.
Right. It was that comedy fest in Nashville, and for reasons I don't remember, you ended up coming back to New Orleans with my brother and I.
You were like, do you want to come back with me? I was like, yeah, okay. I was not ready to start my life yet. I was in like travel mode, and I'm like, okay, I'm in America, but I'm not ready to go back to New York.
So it was that simple. It was just basically like, hey, you want to go to New York? But remember you that first night we stayed at my parents' house, and you fucking smoked weed with my mom in the garage, and she talked so much shit about the Bonfire, about how like she loved Jay, but thought Soder's voices were dumb.
Yeah. That's right. She hates Soda.
So it's like, why do you now she loves him? Because I was like, no, he's because I lived with him in Edinburgh last year.
You live with Soda?
Yeah, I lived with Caitlin and myself and Soda and Jeffrey Baldinger all lived together last year. And because of that, she started fucking liking Dan's voices and now loves him. Now she's always a fan, but it's just funny that like how much she was like, he does all those stupid voices. Like, Jesus, it's, mom.
It's weird how one thing just annoys the fuck out of somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fucking hilarious. That's my mom. My mom is a juggernaut of hilarity. She, do you know what's fucking crazy is
what?
The New York Post, just the safest place to get sick right now is where I fucking grew up, Slidell, Louisiana.
Really?
The New York Post said it's the safest place to get sick right now in the country because it's got the lowest amount of ICU patients. Like, apparently, all the cases there are being caught young.
Dude, that's one of the things I was worried about with going out. I mean, with leaving, where it's like, are we leaving a place with the most hospitals, or is it going to be the most overloaded? It's like, this is all shit you had to consider.
Oh, yeah,
like, man. What if we go to the woods where nobody can give it to me? It's like, yeah, but what if you have it? Then you're fucked if you're in the woods.
Yeah. Well, dude, that's the thing, too. Like, this is why I fucking hate journalists. Like, right now, they're releasing all these, like, doomsday articles about how New York's the epicenter of the thing, of the pandemic, and the United States. And if you think, use your fucking head, of course it's the epicenter. It's the largest, most condensely packed city on the continent.
It's straight up. It's upwards.
Right, right. Of course it's going to be the epicenter of a pandemic. It's the epicenter of everything else. So settle down and don't make it seem like this doomsday scenario of this was naturally going to happen.
Yeah.
Now let people deal with, let like the professionals deal with it without everybody panicking because the numbers are jumping. They're going to jump. We're all crammed on top of one another. Like, that's to be expected, motherfuckers. Like, I wish that's the angle they should be writing from, is like, hey, the thing that logically was going to happen is now logically happening. Now let's all just logically deal with it. Because, like, I'm walking around, I take walks every fucking day in Brooklyn. You got
to. It's the only thing to do.
You got to. But, like, everyone is taking it seriously as fuck, dude. Like, I'm wearing gloves. People are crossing the street when they see you come. It's no longer considered racist to cross the street when you see a bunch of black teenagers coming at you.
That's
a fact.
I know. It's crazy. Like, it is because of racism, but they don't think that anyway.
How long do you think, if this all goes well, people are still going to be using, like, years for the rest of society? The 6 feet rule, just being like, hey, I'm not comfortable being 6 feet, man.
Yeah. For a while. I also think people might start using those gas masks and stuff, those surgeon masks, those China masks.
Just like what? Like, as like,
why not?
Just to have, just like a fashion thing.
I mean, like, use them all the time. Chinese specifically.
I mean, yeah, dude, when you've been to China, you've been to mainland China. Like, they wear them like
weird they use them.
Hats.
When I was there, there was this meme. You know how these memes only certain groups understand?
Well, most memes.
Right, I guess so. Yeah. Nate always tries to show me these golf memes. I'm like, dude, I don't know who this guy is. He goes, he was number one 17 years ago in the world. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I just thought. But
it's the shark, Gary the Shark Norman. You're like, yeah.
Oh, okay. But he was known to have only four toes on the left foot. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, but anyway, it was all these experts. Yeah. All these expats were there, and they knew, and it was like, it showed a guy with a surgeon with one of those masks, you know, a Chinese guy, and he just goes, I get it, you're a surgeon. Yeah, I think everyone's gonna start using them. I don't know what it's gonna be like, but
I mean, it's like, I would like to fucking think we're never not gonna be capitalists, but I would like to think it leads to a world where, like, making money is the third most important thing. You know, but it's
yeah.
I
wonder what's going to happen with that, because I think people are probably like you, starting to realize, like, oh, you know what? Maybe I have time for phone calls with friends and like shit. That's not as I don't need a new shirt right now. So why was I like a week ago saying I need a new shirt,
dude? The realization, like, that's the other thing too. Like, your money. When was the last time your fucking money was just frozen like this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're. Like, my April and May, which are 2 months I had to fucking pretty much wipe off, you know, to reschedule, were just so set. We're just like these beautiful, amazing club after amazing club. I was so excited.
Yeah, you and Adrian were going to do that thing, huh? Was that now?
We're still doing it. Adrian and I, that tour, like, technically right now starts the last week of the very last weekend of May. Hopefully we can still do it.
I saw Bert already double reschedule his shows. Like, he rescheduled for April, and now he's got to reschedule those. And he started for like mid-May, and I'm like, you better wait, bro. But
what's he? Why would a guy like Bert even be panicking about that shit?
Oh, well, you're going for a place of, if I had that money, I'd relax. That's not Bert's mentality.
That's how he has this.
Getting more and more. He's more of a Jew than I am. I'm like, I got plenty of cash. I got like $50 saved up. Let's relax. He is like, I got $1 million saved up. Let's keep going harder.
Dude, that would be a fucking funny, like, Masked Singer-esque game show where you just take two people and, you know, don't tell their names, just give them facts about their life. And the contestant has to pick which one's the Jew. You know what I mean? Like your life, like, goes to Asia, locks himself out of his own email account. Fucking has a dog haphazardly,
and like, is that email account free or did you get a refund? No refund. Yeah. Doesn't sound like a Jew then.
Yeah, and then, all right, masked Jew, take off it's
a giant nose covering up the whole head. Just one giant nose with locks coming down.
Oh, that's fucking ridiculous.
So are you, because you live with somebody, are you how's your relationship?
I mean, dude, luckily, like, right now, she's in another room. So, like, Luckily, right now, like we have what's technically a 3-bedroom, like it's a 2-bedroom apartment, but one of like our living room has a door.
Okay, that's good.
So we can shut it off. So it's like it's 2-bedroom, but we can make it a 3-bedroom. So we've like sanctioned, like we don't have roommates. I mean, that the idea of having a roommate right now seems like a fucking nightmare. On top,
I mean, it would be horrible. Also, like someone else to talk to, but at the same time, it's like, oh, they're gonna fuck my girlfriend.
Oh yeah, yeah, like all yeah.
You couldn't even blame them.
You're like, well, because that's the thing. Like we take walks separately and then sometimes together.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I've been pretty fucking, I was in San Diego 2 weeks ago when all this shit, when it became like, I was still doing shows at the San Diego Comedy, or the American Comedy Club.
Yeah.
And, but like, you know, like that place capped at 200. So it was like under the 200, you know,
under the limit.
And like people still came out and like they wiped down the microphone between all comics, all that shit. They did. And like,
you know, it's weird. That was like a 3 or 4 day period. And now you're like, that's ridiculous. But like, it was okay. Then they were telling us it's okay.
Yeah. We didn't know, man.
We went to the cellar. They were like, you take your own mic, you bring it down, you plug it in yourself. When you're done, you take it out. We spray it down. We change the sock on top of it. This thing.
Yeah.
And like, wow. That's really taking it. Yeah, sure.
But that might be what it's like if and when shit opens up again.
So I talked to my friend in Hong Kong.
Okay.
Garen. So he said that they had a second wave.
Of course, yeah. Which
I assume we're going to have to. I know they had one in Singapore, and the second wave was really bad.
Really?
Like, oh, we got control of this. Everybody can go outside again. And then it was like worse than the first time in Singapore.
Okay.
In Hong Kong, he said they had control of it. The comedy club there, which is thriving now, it's like a new one. It's finally doing really well. It's got its own like bar outside the club room. Were you there?
All right. The Riff. No, but I know those guys.
Okay.
Yeah. I've done Hong Kong, but it was a club that's no longer open.
Okay. So they finally got a new club and it's like, it's supposed to be great. I want to go. You should go too. I'm sure you will. But like, he said they reopened and the rule was seat in between every person.
Okay.
Same thing they did with the microphone, where you get a new mic, spray it down in between each comic.
Right.
And they capped it at a certain amount of total people. And then they were like, oh, and they did a massive, as much hand sanitizer as you want when you walk in. Does it have like bottles where you can spray? Full like deep clean after every show, which is for them probably after every night.
Right.
And then they were like, just a week ago, they said, we're putting that on hold for 2 weeks and they're going to revisit. So they got one more week and they might go right back to that. I don't know, but that gives me and you hope of like, maybe we can perform again.
I mean, also like if it goes into summer, that's why it's like if this social distancing thing, if it all works and like flattens the shit and, you know, we can have a few months of it's like getting out there and then we know, OK, October's rolling around. It's going to get sticky again. Everyone just prepare.
Yeah.
In fact, that's all it really is preparation. I mean, it's fucking freaky, dude, because I mean, it's been today is day 14 of like phase one of quarantining
in New York.
Yeah. So like today is because 2 weeks ago I flew back home from San Diego.
To New York. Yeah.
Which that was a fucking thing, dude. Like,
You know, flights are still going.
Oh yeah. They're still going.
Still get a flight right now. And I'm like, well, I don't understand why that's allowable still.
It was like but that was the thing. Like 2 weeks ago, a couple of people gave me shit about flying back to New York, but it was like, hey, it's real easy to give someone shit about, you know, self-quarantining when you're already at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, I'm in San Diego at a fucking Airbnb. You want to keep paying for it? Do you want to?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Everybody loves saying I'm holier than thou. I got shit from somebody who was like a comic who was like, you did shows at the cellar on that Sunday night. And I'm like, yeah, and you for 25 people. And you would have done a show for 2,000 people Friday, 2 days earlier, except the government said you weren't allowed.
Dude,
shut up. But quit with this holier than thou shit.
Right. There were a lot of posts of like, I've decided to cancel. And it's like, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Your manager called you and said the venue had to close down.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they all took credit for it. That's why I put a post up. I said, canceling your shows is the new virtue signaling, because they could easily just send out an email to everyone who had tickets, but they wanted to do it online publicly to show everyone that they care about the safety. Which you didn't care about an hour before they made you cancel the show.
Dude, yeah. It's like, I don't know. I hate that kind of fucking, like, look, I'm doing the thing now that everyone is agreeing is okay to do, and you should too.
Oh, yeah.
Just I don't have a problem with being like, hey, I canceled my shows. We should all be fucking do. Like, it was just the tone of like, I've decided.
Uh-huh. By the way, all those people are in LA congregating for podcasts still.
Dude,
they're using some weird technicality of media to get around it and say, hey, I'll make my producer come out. You guys get in your car and come out and expose each other's families. And they're like, well, we're sitting feet apart, but
they're still doing it. They're still doing it.
Still doing them live. And then saying like New Yorkers should not have been going to comedy clubs on a certain date, which is like, look, I'm not an expert on a fucking virus and neither are you, but quit looking down on us.
Yeah.
12 days after the state said only fucking important people, they're like, we're still going to do it.
Podcasting is essential, Ari.
Yeah, I guess so.
Podcasters are essential employees.
But we're not playing that game either. It's like, fucking do what you want, I guess, but.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Apparently people in LA are not taking this as seriously at all.
No, Diaz said he went to the Y, Men's Christian Association.
Right.
And he said he sat in his car, smoked a joint, and just watched everybody in the fields. The Y itself was closed, but the field was open. You know, you can't close a field. Watched everybody congregating, playing on swings together, playing basketball. He's just sitting in his car, smoking pot, going, these are the motherfuckers who are going to kill my friend's father. This is the motherfuckers who are going to kill my friend's uncle, you know?
Dude, like, we walked around Prospect. We every day it's been nice. We walked Prospect Park.
Okay.
And like when it's nice, it's there's a shit ton of people in the park, but it's like everyone just called everyone else's mother a cunt. Like everyone, you know what I'm saying? Like everyone's just looking around, like just ready to fucking jump if you come within fucking 6.5 feet. Like no one, you know what I'm saying? Like there is no congregating happening. And the thing, and it's kind of funny too, because watching people dodge kids, myself included. Because people are like,
kids don't know at all. A couple of them have been told, you stay away from everybody. So when they come, they stop and they go, oh, mama, someone's coming. And you're like, good.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, dude. But no, like, all these little fucks on like Razor scooters. I don't mean to call them little fucks, but they're like, zipping around. But like, they come too close and you're like, you're a carrier pigeon. You don't even realize. Like, you're the kids are the ones who are like fucking spreading it the most and they don't feel any symptoms at all, really. I'm terrified of children right now.
Yeah, too. But always they have germs. They're always the germs.
Always, dude. Like, yeah, that's been a fun thing to watch.
No, dude. When I leave my sister's house and I see all her nephews or anybody who has kids, I walk as soon as I walk out. I go to the bathroom first, like fucking like a surgeon, like this. Like, don't touch your face. Yeah. I mean, that was a year ago. I was doing that.
Are you going outside at all?
Yeah. So. Quarantining right now, but we go outside to walk the dog.
Right.
Dude, in the suburbs, this is when I understand why people in LA and other places don't understand New York and don't have the crazy anxiety we had there. It's because you actually can walk a full block without seeing anybody.
Oh yeah, alone. Yeah.
It's like in New York, I was walking the dog before. It's like you have four areas to walk: sidewalk, on the left side of the street or the right side of the street. So when you see somebody coming, you gotta cross, and then when they pass, someone else is coming, you gotta cross back. It's like Frogger, sort of. Here in the suburbs, it's easy. And then every four blocks, you pass somebody like, hello, you just walk around them and go back to the sidewalk.
Yeah, I tell you what, walking around New York makes me wish if there was one skill I had, it would be parkour.
Yeah.
Just because that would be fucking hilarious. Just jump off the car and jump. You just roll over six cars right in front of their face. Wait, you're in the suburbs right now?
Yeah.
Are you recording this audio? Sorry, this video.
Yeah.
Okay. Behind you out the window, what is that tower? Is that a church?
Church, yeah. It's a church.
Okay. I've been looking at that. When you said suburbs, I'm like, but what about that castle? Oh, probably a church.
Yeah, it's a church. That's my backyard. It's fenced in backyard for Bandit.
Wait. Where is it? An Airbnb you're in?
It's Airbnb. Yeah, it's a guy who wants to stay at his parents' house. His parents left and went somewhere else, so he's staying at his parents' house. And he was like, "We're like, hey, let's get the fuck out of here. This is gonna get bad." We're in a supermarket in New York. We're like, it could be good, but like, it's gonna be tough with a dog.
It is.
And let's just get out of here. My dad extended an invitation, so I was like, yeah, let's go to Baltimore. And so But we can't expose them to anything, so we had to do a full quarantine here. So we asked this guy. He goes, yeah, I'll clean the shit out of the house. Give me 2 days.
Okay. Wait. Are you going to go stay with your parents after two weeks?
At the end of this quarantine. Yeah, 16 days. Doing a couple 16 days. Yeah, and then he'll pick us up. We'll go straight there so we don't see anybody.
Right. When you get, once you're there with your parents and you quarantine and you know there's no risk of disease, is that good? Like, are you keeping in shape to fight off all the Kobe fans that know where your dad and your mom lives?
They moved like 7 months ago. So it's actually pretty great. They doxed to whoever has my old phone number and whoever has their old address. Yeah. I just feel bad for them.
Just like this new family in a starter home. Like, all these people with Lakers jerseys keep walking by throwing bricks at the house.
Dude, I went to, I changed my phone number. Like, it was like, I wonder when maybe it was July or August or something like that. Something like that. I checked because there was like too many people on my phone. I would get random calls from people. I was like, hello. I was like, hello. They're like, is this Ari? I'm like, yeah. Who's this? I'm like, some chick I'm fucking said she fucked you like 8 years ago. I'm like, God damn it. I was just like, get random calls and texts. It was annoying. So anyway, I was like, I got to get a new phone number. So I changed it like then. But man, whoever has that old number, I know is getting a barrage of calls. Even like, from comedians who don't know I got a new number, was like, hey man, fuck those bitches. Like, just some Christian guy was like, who is this?
That's funny. When these people would call and be like, yo, my girl said she fucked you, were they angry or were they more like, is that true? Because that's awesome.
Yeah, more like that's awesome. Because they didn't fuck me while they were going out with them. It was like, they're still in the age range that I would have fucked them.
That is fucking... wait, hold on. We're detecting background noise from your... never mind. That went away. All right. I just got an... maybe I laughed
loud. I don't know. This is mostly getting it. I think my Wi-Fi is a little slow here. What?
You're good. I got your back. You froze up for a second, but you're good.
Listen, everybody, just so you know, this Airbnb, the Wi-Fi is not the best. So we're going to have some glitches here or there. I'm apologizing now. We're doing the best we fucking can. We're fucking 5,000 miles apart from New York to Maryland. I'm not sure that's
easy. Yeah, it's crazy. This right here is going to fucking change podcasting forever.
Because I always resisted doing Skype interviews. I was like, no, I'd rather only be there. So even like Chuck Palahniuk. Palahniuk.
Chuck Palahniuk, the writer?
Uh-huh. I got him on. But for like 2 years before, it was like, if you want to do a Skype interview, we can do it. I'm like, no, I'll wait till I'm in Portland or I'll wait till, you know, he's visiting New York. I want to do these. And now it's like, it opens up a world of like, Hong Kong podcasts of any I could do from any to anywhere now.
Well, I mean, like, a couple of months back, like in January, I did Jeff Foxworthy's podcast from New York, and he was in Atlanta.
Wow!
And I
remember that. I remember asking you to ask him something for me.
I did ask him that. That was the thing. You go into it being like, "Oh, I'm about to talk to Jeff Foxworthy. Am I going to fuck with him? What am I going to say?" And then, like, he's the nicest, smartest, like most biggest comedy fucking nerd you've ever talked to, and you're like, but then like I brought up because you were like, ask him what it's like to be a good comic that's only known for
the one shitty thing,
the one joke. And I didn't say it like that, but I did ask him, like, you know, is it strange being that like everybody always expects redneck jokes? And I forgot, he said something along the lines of, at first it was, but then you sort of accept the challenge of always coming up with new ones. And I thought that was kind of cool. Of like,
except the challenge of coming. Okay, that makes sense.
Like if Bert had to write a different variation of the machine story
every time,
just like,
you know who did that? Who was that Christian comic who was a cheerleader, LA Raiders cheerleader? But she was like a real Christian. She was super hot.
Fuck, I don't know at all.
She had the nail salon bit.
Oh, Angela Johnson.
Yeah. So. Took off on that, got put on that TV for it. And then at some point she's on stage doing it a bunch and she's going, you know, second time in these cities or third time or whatever. And she goes, oh shit, they've already seen this. And she's just like, how about the nail salon lady flying? How about the nail salon lady walking her dog? And it's like, milk it.
How fucking hilarious would it be if Bert, he's up there, he's no shirt on, they're expecting the machine story. Somebody says something about it. He's like, you guys want to hear the machine? I'm trying to do Bert. That's my impersonation of Bert, right? Something funny.
That's actually really good. That's better than your Scottish. That's really
good. Oh, God, yeah, I didn't see it.
He sounded like him for a second, to be honest. Yeah. That was bad.
You know, but like, and he go, and instead of just going into the machine story, that the whole place fucking erupts, he just drops into a Russian accent and just like, my name is Boris. I was there in the day. And he does the entire machine story from the perspective and in the character of one of the fucking Russian guys.
Like a one-man show Meisner interpretation of the machine story.
Yeah, dude. And like the entire fucking crowd is like, what the hell is this? Except the one guy who wanted to hear the story is like,
oh yeah,
it's amazing.
Oh yeah, loves it. Yeah, he goes, my sister 2 months earlier was taken to the gulag. I was in a terrible place.
Yeah. I tell the American to steal the vodka because if he did not, I was going to murder the entire train.
Paper Tiger, it's all false.
Dude, that is fucking...
I should do that.
Oh, God.
If Bert was like one of those like actors, he would be able to be like, I'm doing every character in this as like... as dude, like
someone tell Bert right and now, Smith. While he cannot be fucking...
He should.
He should be taking acting classes
while he's quarantined. He should do the machine story as every character. Film each one separately and so have someone splice them all together.
Dude, it's 100% what he should do. Really?
Wow.
The Bert, we just. I want to EP credit. Ari and I get executive producer
EP, credit. Yeah, EP credit, which according to Hollywood, it means we've done nothing.
But we get money.
We get money and his credit.
We get money and we get to ride in fucking private jets. I one time had a guy, I was doing a show in fucking Baton Rouge, maybe. I was doing a show and some guy kept.
Wait, checks out.
He kept going, Belushi, just every like 3 minutes or 5 minutes would just yell like, Belushi. And I'd ignore it and keep going. And the audience was getting more and more annoyed. I could tell, but I was just trying to like finish the set. And then finally, he did it very loudly, like, Belushi. And I was like, all right, man, I got to acknowledge this. I was like, sir, do you want to see me do a Belushi impersonation? And the audience clearly was not into that idea. They were just sort of like, ugh. But that guy went nuts. He's like, yeah. and so I was like, which one, sir? Do you want to see me do Jim or do you want to see me do John? And he fucking goes, John, Jim is dead to me. But I was so fucking, like, Jim is dead to him. I know. I was so pissed off at the guy that I just impersonated. My impersonation of John Belushi was me just impersonating someone ODing of heroin and dying of a heart attack. Solid. You know how Belushi died. And it got this very loud, very audible groan from every single person in the crowd, except that guy. Because I heard that same voice laugh alarmingly loud over all these people. And then I did like one more bit that didn't really win him over, and then the show was over. But afterwards at the bar, that dude came up to me and was like, I fucking love that impersonation because you took balls. You know who had balls? Fucking Belushi. So you did the most fucking bit. He said, backdoor impersonation I've ever seen. It was great. I was like, backdoor impersonation? That's a great.
I love how you're like, I definitely didn't mean that, but I will take the compliment and internalize it to the point where I think I'm amazing.
100%.
Yeah. You know what I want to talk to you about, but Sean, I don't know, it's certain people, you and DeRosa, Kyle Kinane, there's a few people who like, as soon as I see them, I want to drink and I see a bottle of Jack Daniels over there. I'm going to go grab it real quick. Do you mind?
No, go ahead. Okay. Grab it up. Yeah.
Give me 1 second. Hey, while I'm gone, tell everybody your dates.
Well, Ari's gone right now. I'm going to hijack the podcast just to let you know. If you're only hearing the audio right now, Ari's wearing Baltimore shorts. That's right, Baltimore shorts. They look like the flag of Baltimore, but shorts. This guy's ready to party. I'm just commenting on your shorts, Ari. Ari, why do I keep calling you Ari? I just called you Ari twice while you weren't there.
That's what Felipe and Gabriel used to call me.
Artie?
Yeah, Artie the Wen Men Party. And I was like, I love the nickname so much. It's back when they were doing like Brave Bull and all these like Mexican rooms, and they were introducing me to all these Mexican rooms. And I didn't want to like ruin the nickname of Artie the One Man Party. So
Artie,
like,
the One Man Party.
Because Ari the One Man Party. I don't know.
Ari the One Man, there's nothing. There's no Ari the One Man Starry. Ari
Porma Campari?
Yeah. That one's pretty good.
It's not bad up on the spot.
Somebody pour Ari a Campari. A Campari Ferrari. Wait, it's funny because when you said there's something about when I see guys like you, and then it was like dot, 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 DeRosa. And then I was like, oh, fuck, what's he going to say? He's lumping me in with Joe. This could be he wants to hit me or he wants to hug me.
No, it's just like
the name. Yeah,
you ever smoke cigarettes?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so like you know those trigger places. And whenever I quit and then I came back to the Comedy Store, I'm like, I can't not smoke here.
When did so you it's smoke like, cigarettes?
What? I used to smoke.
Really?
Yeah, about 7-8 years.
Were you a menthol guy?
I'd smoke whatever came. No, but I was not. I was a.
Hold on. Let me guess. You?
Yeah.
Camel Lights. Unfiltered.
Unfiltered.
Lucky Strikes. You rolled your own. No, you were definitely a fucking Camel Red Light 100. Because you're a tall guy, you need a long cigarette.
No.
No?
I started smoking at the Comedy Store when I was in the back door.
Okay.
And then I smoked Parliament Lights a little bit, but Marlboro Lights was my go-to.
Marlboro?
I also smoked there was this open mic we used to do at noon on Sundays in the Valley. And there was a shop there that sold like $2 a pack cigarettes, like non-name brand cigarettes.
Wait, was that open mic at Ireland's 32? Did you ever do that open mic?
It was half comedy, half music.
Okay.
No, I don't think it was that. What was that open mic like?
That one was great. There was a bar. You know that bar? It's in Van Nuys, Ireland's 32. It had the guy who hosted was a professional Sinatra impersonator.
Great.
So he would just do Frank and sing songs in between. And it was three segments. It was 5 minutes for the newbies, 7 minutes for the regulars, and then like 10 minutes for like the all star. This is where I met Earl Skakel. Because Earl Skakel used to always be there. He was one of the all stars. So he would go on last and do 10. But if you couldn't swear, and if you swore at all, the guy would just start singing the fucking Sinatra song, and he'd sing you off. But it was like a fun mic. Because it was ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
Here's a, you said Marlboro Lights?
Yeah.
What are you, a fucking dental hygienist? That's a standard.
That's a standard white guy cigarette. That and Parliament Lights is the ones who used to smoke weed, but Marlboro Lights was the standard white guy.
I felt like Camel Lights was the standard white guy.
No.
I was an American Spirit Blue Pack.
Oh, when American Spirits got in, I think I might have been the yellow. But that, they smoked so long.
They were the best. That was the fucking best part.
Eddie Griffin told us that if you smoke those cigarettes, you can't get cancer because you never heard of an Indian with cancer. Which is true, Griffin, but I've never heard of many Indians. So I was like, I can't argue with it.
I feel like Eddie Griffin made up most of the facts he lived by.
I've been disproven.
Yeah, exactly. Like he might just prove that if you believe something, it doesn't matter what it is, it's real.
Yeah.
Wait, what was this? Is a question because you started going to the store in what, 2007? No, before that.
No, 90 late mid 99. That's when I started comedy. I started there.
You started at the Comedy Store.
I did three open mics around town. And then got the job at the store. So then I started doing the open mic section within a month of being in LA.
Okay. So, you know, like right now, or like not right now, but you know, fucking January of this year on like a fucking Tuesday night at the store, it was going to be, it's packed in all three rooms. Shit's going on. It's crazy. Everything is like 2006.
Yeah.
Was it like that? No, right?
No, no. Dude. It was more like this. So I'd work the booth. I started the phones.
Right.
Then went to the booth because the booth, you had to answer the phones too. It was like a similar job. And then also run the show, turn the light on people.
Right.
Tickets. And then I went, eventually she was like, you're getting good. You can work the door now.
Okay.
Which is actually a pay cut. The booth was minimum wage, which was, I think, $6.50 an hour. Phones were like, no, booth was like, $6.75 an hour. Phones was like $6.25 an hour. And then the door shifts were $25 a shift.
But that's basically where she's testing you. Like, do you want to be a comedian or you want to fucking work a booth? I've never met Mitzi at all. I'm just doing
No, she's definitely
doing Esty, basically.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. I guess it was just a step up in like honor to be able to be a door guy, but the money was worse. Now those guys all make hella tips and shit, but
yeah,
we didn't. We sell like $5 a year, but like, but okay. So when I was working the booth, I remember you couldn't start. The rule was you couldn't start with less than 8 people in the room. Couldn't start the show. Show was supposed to start at 9. Unless you had 8 people, you could not start the show. And many times we could not start the show on time.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't have 8 people. Now there's a line to get in before the show even starts. They have one of the door guys do a pre-5. So if the show starts at 9, at 8:50, a door guy gets to go on and warm up for the first guy. We didn't have that luxury at all.
Dude, I remember in 2006 was where I moved to LA from New Orleans. That's where I went first, was LA.
Okay.
And I remember going to the store. I want to say it was on Tuesdays, maybe Wednesdays, but to do the mic. And I remember like you would go.
That was Sunday back then.
Sunday. So I remember you had to sign up at like 3:30 and then you come back at like 5 and they'd post the list of who made it. And back then there was maybe only 20 people signing up at a time. So everyone would sign up.
Yeah. Or it'd be like maybe 30 people would sign up for 20 spots, but
maybe
get one. Yeah.
But it was like, and then we'd all sign up and you walk to that Starbucks and just hang out and then walk back to get the list. And I remember then like this year in January or in February, I was in LA and I went there to do a podcast and I showed up and there was like, I'm going to guess 150 people out front at like 4 PM. And I was like, what's that all about? And they're like, that's the open mic sign. I was like, that is fucking insane.
When was that?
February of this year. Wait. What? And I remember like back then, I don't think I ever missed out on the open mic at the Cellar. I think like at the store, like I go sign up and you go and you're like, oh, okay, I'm on the list. Cool. You're doing it. And like, it was always like the same guys. You remember that was back when Boone was insane still. Now he's all fucking rational and coach. The guy I met was fucking crazy. That guy that Boone shot
a bucket in his head. He'd come up with a bucket in his head and a dress. And he'd be like, he'd just lead a dance troupe on stage.
Dude, I remember he would do a bit where he would eat fiddle faddle. The popcorn in the box just the whole fucking time. While performing, and it was fucking hilarious, but crazy.
Dude, when I hosted the open mic, it was probably around 2002 or 3, for a good 5 years. I hosted it pretty much every open mic night. And then it moved to Sunday and Monday, and then moved to Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. That's how much the Comedy Store was failing. They're like, do it 3 days a week, open mic, and like, don't pay the comics who come in later, the real comics.
But that's the thing. I never met you as a host. Every time I fucking did it, it was Dan Bilak. That guy was always the host every time I did the open mic.
It was after me. That was right after me. So I probably stopped right before that. They moved it around. But so we had a guy, Bezo. He had nipple rings. He would tie sausages to a nipple ring hook onto his chest. Have sausages coming off, and then they would take a cleaver, a meat cleaver, and chop the sausages against his chest as hard as he could. He would tase himself. Bezo was the fucking truth, man.
You see, like, no one's doing that shit anymore. Nah,
they're all trying to make it.
Everyone's trying to, I feel like back then, open mics were less about making it, more about just like, someone needs to express themselves or they're going to chop their fucking own head off.
Yeah, or I need a warm place to go for an hour and I hope I draw last so I can sit here the whole time before they kick me out.
Dude, oh my God.
Dude, comedy has changed so much. It's become so mainstream that you now have this influx of people who are trying to grab that mainstream dollar. And the outlaws like you are so few and far between now. Because you're like the ones who just want to make good jokes and have interesting stuff. It's just like crazy. They're all like, I need to do theaters and I have to do what I have to do to stay in those theaters and abide by those fucking rules to get fucking sponsorships. And it's like, wow, what did you guys get into this for?
I mean, dude, like that, but that's, I don't know. Like, you feel like a situation like this whole pandemic might shake that to the core.
Hopefully it does. I like comedy when it's dangerous.
I mean, I think even if it didn't, it would still revert back to that. You know what I mean? Like, I think it would get to a point where, like, people were, because, like, You look when you talk.
Dane
to
changed
him,
it. Dane was pretty, started comedy, and made big, and then all these younger, pretty guys in 15, 16 were like, "Oh, I want to be like Dane." So then you have like guys like Brett Morin and D'Elia, and they come in and they're like, they're pretty guys who were coming into comedy, and it's not to say they're good or bad. It's nothing to do with that. Before, yeah, pretty guys had no place here.
Right. Okay.
There's no place for you. There's why would you come here? There's no success. So why don't you go do something a pretty person can make money at?
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're here, and it's like,
and they're fucking, it's huge. Yeah, yeah.
It's fine. It's like, do of course, be allowed to do what you want to do. It's just different. That's all.
Yeah, but I mean, there will always be a need for like the dangerous mindset, though.
Sure, exactly. And those people are actually making more money than they would have made in 2006.
Yeah, like that shit is always necessary, man. Like, I mean, like when I fight, like you're never, it's never going to get to the point where like, because it would have happened by now if it got to the point where comedy was so boring that it was just like, nope, it's just up here being sweet and making people giggle at how that's, furry life yeah. is. It would have just
the most viewed type of comedy. So somebody at Louis C.K. pointed this out, yeah, where he goes, you look at any late night host now.
Yeah.
And any of them could be a daytime host. I don't mean like could survive on daytime. I mean, you take the show they're already doing and just move to 2 p.m. and it'd be fine. Yeah. But when Johnny Carson was around, he was doing dangerous shit. They were getting drunk. They were actually like doing like stuff that was, you can't be on from 8 to 10 because it's just too dark.
Yeah.
But now it's like, plus these are all clips, like Colbert, the fucking British guy who steals all his material, the fucking Fallon, any of the other guys, like you could easily move them to right after Ellen. There'd be no difference. There's no reason for them to be on at late night.
Dude. Okay, here's the thing. Do you fuck with TikTok at all?
No. Seems like Vine though, right? Or no?
No. It's completely different from Vine because Vine at least encouraged some aspect of originality.
Okay.
Like Vine was just like, you get 6 seconds, do what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
Like TikTok is 90% people just regurgitating like games. There's all these challenges, which are dances. So you've got like families and shit, just like doing these dances and like to the same fucking song. And like, you remember the wonderful film Coming to America?
Of course.
You remember the scene where Eddie Murphy comes out? He's like, "Good morning, my neighbors." And that guy's like, "Fuck,
shut the
you.
Fuck up."
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck it. So there's people taking that sound bite and just pantomiming it. And like,
oh, doing the same thing, but like, look, it's me now as Eddie Murphy.
Yes, or just me
Didn't
now.
Did you see a Trevor Noah thing. Clip where he did the exact same thing?
Yes, because that is what that is because
old habits die hard.
It's just like, but that's all TikTok is. It's just like, hey, regurgitate this already familiar thing in a way where people in your own unique way. I guess is what I'm saying. And like, it's a lot of dancing and it's a lot of lip syncing. And yeah, there's some original content on there. That's pretty fucking good. Schoolers.
Yeah.
But like, it's a thing where like, at first I was so, I'm going to admit, threatened by it. Cause it was like, holy shit, some fucking dumbass 17-year-old who's got 50 million followers is going to become rich off this. And then you realize like, no, they're not. They're going to get their 15 minutes of fame, but there's no skill set behind it. And like, eventually people do want to see some quality. And you know what I mean?
Is that YouTube lady still have a late night show?
What YouTube lady? Oh, Hannah. Wait, shit, what was her name?
She's That's Indian.
Fuck, I don't know. See, I don't know. Maybe she does.
Lily Singh.
Does she? Wait, fact checker.
Yeah, do
We're
it.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it, dude.
My wife, I can't handle doing two things at once. She had a late night show. They were like, I don't know, fuck, it's diversity, and she's got a lot of followers. Put her on.
Lily Singh, Canadian YouTuber, talk show writer, actress. It just says she had a YouTube videos. Yeah, Late Night with Lily Singh. A Little Late with Lily Singh. On.
And the Late Late Show, when Debbie Letterman took over the show after Carson, it was like, oh, man, they're bowling for eggnog. They're doing shit. They're like, this is fucking crazy.
Well, yeah, dude. Think about early Conan.
Catapulting a guy in a Velcro suit to a Velcro wall and see if they can stick him.
Dude, do you
remember? Early Conan was so good in the year 2000.
Yeah. Well, no, do you remember my favorite fucking thing they did on Conan? And I got to do a show with this guy once, and I almost completely fucking geeked out. Do you remember they would do a clip on Conan where Conan would announce some random mundane shit like, so today it's confirmed that, you know, Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt are no longer engaged. And then there'd be like a guy in the audience who'd be like, wait a second, though, but they're probably still engaged, right? Yeah. And Conan would be like, no, it's official. They broke up. And he'd be like, they broke up. There's no reason to live. And you remember this guy? And the guy would run out of the
studio. Had to be a writer, yeah.
And then they would cut to a clip of someone barreling, going like old footage of someone like taking a canoe over a waterfall. Or like, it was just, that was the gag. It would be like a guy reacting to mundane news.
I love how Conan was like, no, sir. Also, why are you mic'd in the audience? This is obviously fake.
Yeah. But like, I got to do a show with that writer, the guy who played that guy.
He wasn't right.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah,
he was a fucking improv sketch guy, but it was fucking hilarious. But like that kind of shit, like just being funny for funny's sake. Everyone wants to look cool.
Yeah.
That now it's all about cool, and I fucking hate cool.
Well, that's what made Seinfeld so good. The show was that he was like, I will not be the lead of my own show. Don't worry, it's my name. I'll get the most notoriety off it. But the crazy people, the funniest people, are Kramer and George and even Newman. Yeah. It was like Seinfeld had funny lines, but not the funniest lines. Yeah, he let everybody else be crazy around him. And he goes, I'll just take the credit.
Yeah. I mean, like the episode that I think most people talk about, the orgasm episode, like that fucking Elaine, that was all hard. You know, that.
And Kramer throwing his money down. I'm like, I'm out.
Oh, yeah, that was a great moment.
Yeah. Like, what? You lasted 20 minutes. You saw a girl jogging by.
I mean, hey, come on, man. You know what I mean?
I've been doing a week at the Riv. I got is staring out into this pool. There's no Wi-Fi. Yeah.
And that was pre-yoga pants.
Oh, yeah.
The designers of yoga pants are trying to make it harder and harder for you just to not start whacking, like to just go into a Starbucks bathroom right there on the spot. Dude, it's ridiculous. But yeah, like the I don't know, man. The cool. I'm not.
Yeah, all that shit is safe now. But here's what I was gonna say. Yes, late night is no longer a place for like cutting edge comedy in any way. It's not walking a line. It's not threatening to go over a line in any way. But the internet now has become a place for that. So there is still a home, probably a bigger home, for dark kind of out there comedy. Just can't be mainstream. And those people who are like so. Want those mainstream to suck at that tit, that it's like, you got to make a choice. You got to be Doug Stanhope or you're going to be fucking the mainstream guy. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, because it's still like danger. Like you could fucking, you yourself, I'm talking to the guy who proved it more so than most people, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Whatever
like,
you want. You'll have some backlash, but backlash is okay.
I get real fucking tired of like the, you can't say this anymore. Yeah, you can. Just say it.
Absolutely you can.
Just fucking say
it. Who was the country music star who just died? The one who did the duet with Dolly Parton?
Oh, shit. I don't know. Why?
Kenny Rogers.
Oh, Kenny Rogers. Yeah.
So, I do what I do. I just make fun of celebrity deaths. And took about a week. And then I guess some like right-wing Republican middle-aged group posted it, but can you believe this asshole? And I just started getting a bunch of hatred from like housewives and house husbands and like former veterans and stuff, or current veterans. But like, and it was like, I'm fine with that whenever they're mad at me, but I just wrote to a few of them like, who did somebody just post this on a blog? Like, why are you guys all coming today?
Yeah.
These people, like, you'll enjoy your 10 minutes of fame. It's the same I always get, but I'm like, who's sending you this stuff? But it's fine. Just a little bit of hatred. It's okay. It's not for you. Whoever sent it to you, man, it's messed up. But that's fine. Hate me.
It's so fucking hilarious that people like Kenny Rogers gave a shit about Kenny Rogers. Like Kenny Rogers gave a fuck about you and your full service oil change business that you bought from your father-in-law when his type 2 diabetes got too bad for him to still come in. You know what I mean? Like,
Kenny Rogers didn't give a fuck about it.
Just because a Kenny Rogers Roasters opened up across the street from where you were stationed in the National Guard doesn't mean he gave a fuck.
Yeah. And you can still do it. Just some comments get worried. They're like, they get upset and they're like, oh, these people are coming after you. It's like, that's okay. They're not your target market.
I mean, it's just like when all the shit was like, I mean, I'm going back to Kaepernick, but like Mike, I have a lot of military in my family, and my cousin was like a fucking Navy SEAL. Like, he was a lot of things. He was a Navy SEAL. He was in the Navy. He had been to Afghanistan. My cousin, my other cousin, she was in 82nd Airborne in the first Iraq War, right?
Yeah.
And both of them, fucking military vets who've actually seen shit, maintain the same reaction to like a Kaepernick or to like anything. Like, when people say that sort of thing is disrespectful to like the flag, it's like, no. You saying that is disrespectful to the flag. Like they both are like, I joined the military to defend this right to be able to talk shit.
To
be able to openly also have an opinion.
Also, whenever hearing this about Kaepernick, that just kept getting lost. That's why when he said, I'm not talking about this anymore, because he was like, you guys are just misconstruing it, and you want to do that. But he said he would sit down. He wouldn't stand up for the national anthem. And some Marines were like, hey, man, just so you know, sitting down for the national anthem is kind of like a dick move. He goes, well, what do you mean? And they're like, we just kind of sort of weirdly take this personally. But I'll tell you what we do when we have something we're trying to protest or something like that, in respect for, we kneel. And Kaepernick was like, okay, if Marines are telling me kneeling is the way to go, then that's what I'll do. So we started kneeling. And everyone's like, how dare you disrespect the flag? And he's like, I got that idea from Marines. Goes, you know what? Fuck all you guys. You're going to write whatever story you want. And he goes, I'm protesting cop shootings, and you're trying to say I'm hating the flag. Fuck off.
But people just, if anything, dude, it all teaches you that people just need something to hate, which is the worst part.
Absolutely. We crave strife.
It exposes the human psyche.
Yeah.
It's like you need something to be pissed off at. And I'm fucking guilty of that, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's like, all right, have it, I guess. But
dude, it's so weird looking at this, like watching it get dark in the suburbs. Because I can't see the church.
It's fully black now. It's dark now. So let me ask you a question. Here's why I wanted to have you on the podcast today.
But yeah, like the...
Go ahead. No, finish the thought.
Wait, what'd you say?
Change topics drastically.
Change drastically, because I fucking forgot what I was going
to
say.
I wanted to hear, you know, something I did with Rogan whenever he got high. We're like, oh, wait, fuck. What was I about to say? And Joe would go, well, luckily, it was definitely not important.
Yeah.
The only way you're like, yeah, you're right, good point, it was just high thought. And you're like, yeah, let's move on, because you'd spend like, ah, oh, what was it? You're like, it doesn't matter. I wanted to ask you about Katrina and in the aftermath of Katrina, how that city, which I think is kind of a microcosm of what the world is going through right now and what New York is going through right now more than any city in America, like, what was that like? Because you told me a little bit about it, and I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, like, what was it like? It was like a different thing, because it wasn't like ongoing. But anyway, let's talk a little about it.
I mean, like, right now, definitely, well, it feels kind of like that same feeling that it was post-Katrina. Like, I mean, on a much, not a way smaller scale, because it was just one region.
Right.
But at the time, you know, like, I had never lived anywhere else. So it felt like the world. It was my worldview, was the New Orleans and the surrounding area. It was this strange moment of everything just felt over, because, like, you know, houses were damaged. There was a third of the population, maybe less, still there. You know, nothing.
A third of the population still there. What do you mean? Because everyone evacuated?
A shit ton of people evacuated, and like in the month or so after the storm, after the city reopened, a lot of people just didn't like went there, collected what they could, and just got the fuck out of it.
Oh.
You know, and never. And just didn't come back. And like, you were just living in this world where like, it was like, it felt like half open, but then a lot of stuff, like you couldn't go to bars and shit at first because they weren't open. And like, grocery stores would sort of be open, but for only the essential shit. And for the most part, you know, you were driving into like Walmart parking lots and there'd be the National Guard just handing out cases of MREs. You know, you ever fuck with those? You ever had one?
No, what are those?
The meals ready to eat.
Oh no.
That like, yeah, they give fucking soldiers in combat, you know what I mean? So they are like, they, you just open this shit up and like you it's like a bag and it says like, you open it and it's like, okay, chili mac, and then you put it inside of a larger bag with a heating element that once it hits water, it creates heat. And then you leave it in that heating bag for, you know, 5-10 minutes or whatever it is, cuz it heats up, and then you pull the little bag out And then you rip that open and you're just eating fucking chili mac that's loaded with starch so you don't shit as much. Because while those fucking soldiers are out in combat, they don't want to be taking a bunch of dumps, aka leaving a trail. Seriously.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And so everything goes away. And they were giving those out?
There's cases of them, dude. That was like, just here, you, if you live in this area, it's completely fucked and nothing can open. So here you go. Cases of MREs and canned water. That's the thing I remember. You got
canned water.
Canned water. It would be Anheuser-Busch. It'd have the Anheuser-Busch logo. And it would just say water. It was just like an all-white can. You're just drinking cans of water. But yeah, but like...
Wait, why didn't you guys evacuate?
Why didn't we?
Yeah.
We did, but it didn't happen till later. Like, I was living in the city, and I remember I got super fucking hungover. I got super shit-faced the night before. I woke up. I had pissed the bed because I was so hammered.
That's like a sign of a good night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very symbolic. Yeah, yeah. And I was
what a feeling when you wake up and you're like, what? God damn it.
I mean, dude, if I'm being honest, back then, I mean, yeah. I was 26 years old. It was probably like twice a week.
What?
Because I was just a fucking young, dumb, living in New Orleans, broke comedian, you know, working at my dad's catering company and whatever else I could do to make money. And fucking just drinking a lot, dude. A lot, man. I had a mattress. Luckily, I bought a mattress and just didn't take the plastic cover.
Smart. Off of it. That's a smart move for an alcoholic. That's you know what? Nah, I'm going to use this.
Dude, but I remember that I'm fucking standing in my kitchen naked because I, you know, fucking pissed the bed. So I stripped my clothes off and took like a bird bath. And I was eating canned crab claw meat and just drinking orange juice. And my dad called me and was like, what are you doing still in this city? And I was like, what do you mean, what am I doing in this fucking city? I live here. And he's like, you got to go. And like, cause like you knew about Katrina for a few days, but it was like a hurricane is a threat constantly in Southeast Louisiana during that time of year.
It's this weird thing where people look back on things with a new eye. Well, like we were saying, what they're looking back on the doing shows at the Cellar. And it's like, no, now it seems stupid, but bars and restaurants are still open. So that was also stupid. Or like, I heard one of my last meals, me and Becky went out to eat. We're setting up the studio, which this would be recorded in a studio if not for all this. But like, we heard some lady was like, can you believe this? Can you believe they're shutting down restaurants? And I had to be like, you know, other cities are doing it too. It's like, what are the cities? She was like, fuck New York. And I was like, she was like, what are the cities? I'm like, so Oakland is and San Francisco are completely shut down. All over Italy and France and Spain. She goes, what? I'm like, oh yeah, lady, it's not just New York being a dick. And then she goes, I don't understand how they just can't make it illegal to eat bats. It's fucking dumb. And I want to be like, oh, I've seen bat being served on multiple occasions in Thailand and Cambodia. And I almost ate it. It's looking back, it seems like no, shouldn't do it. But at the time, you wouldn't think this is going to lead to an epidemic.
Well, also, it's like, what's making illegal to eat bats now going to do? Oh, you know, I mean, like, because they definitely aren't making bats illegal in Wuhan or anywhere in China. I don't think that fucking, right? They're definitely, right now, someone's eating bat in China.
It's a source of meat. It wasn't about that. It's about like, how do we make this clean? It's kind of like when pigs were eating for a while and they're like, oh no, you got to heat up to a certain temperature to get rid of the tapeworm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. Thanks for telling me. So when I was in Timor-Leste, I met a guy who was like, we ate when I was a kid. And this guy was like 26. And he goes, when I was a kid, we ate monkey meat all the time.
Monkey meat?
Monkey meat. It's a source of meat. They also eat dog meat. It's like, but any source of meat, it's like fish. It's like they're there. Get them.
Yeah, protein.
And then they go, the monkey meat started making people insane. So they're like, oh, now we don't eat that anymore. But they had to do the studies first. Why wouldn't you think meat is meat?
That sounds like a diagnosis from someone who's had too much monkey meat. Like, the monkey meat makes you crazy. You can't eat the monkey meat no more. Woo, chimpanzee burger out the window, baby. That's fucking hilarious. I never even thought about eating monkey. That seems almost like cannibalism. That seems like...
Too close.
Too close to cannibalism, eating monkey. Too close
for comfort, yeah.
Dude, I mean, wait. Did you ever eat bat? You said you came close. You never did?
Only because I saw the way it was being prepared, and I was like, I'm out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, what was it? Like, they boiled it, right?
So that street meat, you went to China. You ever go to the street carts?
Oh, yeah, dude. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Malaysia, too.
What?
Malaysia, too. They're way more in Malaysia, I saw.
I heard Malaysian, like the and Singaporean, like, street food culture is, like, massive.
Dude. It was massive.
So it's the same carts they have outside bars where they serve, like, hot dogs wrapped in bacon.
Right.
It's the same.
Dogs, baby.
Oh, they're great. And the cart itself is the same. And so they're frying up, like, kebabs of meat. In China, it was the best. In Shanghai, I remember getting one, and it was, like, whatever yuan per thing. And it ended up being, like, I think, like, 17 cents per kebab.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, get six. If you don't like one, chuck it. And you'd eat one, like, this is delicious. Eat every, like, four pieces. Then the next one is, like, oh, what is that? Throw it away. It doesn't matter. 17 cents. Throw it away. Eat the next one.
Dude, just what
point
is...
Go one. Point one.
God, I love the idea of, like, oh, what is that? It's like, oh, it's fucking deep fried squirrel cum. We masturbate a squirrel and then freeze its cum, then batter it. Dude, I remember the fucker things in Malaysia where you'd walk up and you'd just pull, you'd pick from, they'd have just like a row of skewers all separated and you'd pick them and they were all raw. And then, but they had this pot of boiling water. That you just then you pick your skewers and you put them in the pot of boiling water and the guy would, like, you know, tell you how long and wow. you let it boil for 10 seconds to a minute and then you know you pay him and then you pull it out and you fucking eat. You just boiled, you know, scorpion fucking loin or whatever you're eating.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I was a pussy. I was just like, give me the beef. Which one's beef? Just straight beef.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the way to go. And sometimes when I was in Cambodia, we saw tarantula on a skewer, like, whatever, and crickets, and we're like, oh, is that what they eat here? And a guy I know who I met in Hong Kong, who now did, like, he was a chef, he did food tours in Cambodia, he goes, no, that's not what they eat here. They know that tourists think that's what they eat here,
right.
But I'm like, that guy's Cambodian, and he's like, I hate to say this, you're being racist, that guy's definitely Korean and he's visiting. And I'm like, oh shit.
yeah.
But so anyway, you, know, you see skewers going, and I'm like, okay, I can eat anything. And one of them is bat meat, right? And I was like, it was like a baby bat. And I was like, maybe I'll get one. I was like, yes, let me have some bat meat. And the guy reached underneath the cart, pulled out a bucket of just lukewarm water with a bunch of skewers already made, pulled out a skewer of bat meat, shook it off, and put it on the grill. And I was like, oh, I'm out. Because it was like, that's not an ice. I don't know what I thought it'd be in, but it wasn't anything I could, like,
It could have been fucking chicken. Could have been chicken nuggets. Could have been already cooked processed meat. It'd still be disgusting.
And I'd be like, nah. I'm already taking a risk. Same thing with dog meat in Indonesia. When I saw it, I was like, it was one of those raw rooms where the meat is just out for hours. And I'm like, if it's fresh dog meat, I'll try it, but not like that.
Damn, dude, you say that, and wait, and then you say your dog's name is Bandit?
Yeah.
Congratulations on naming it a fucking real dog name, by the way.
Instead of, like, John Smith?
Oh, yeah, or, like, this is Joshua, or, like...
Joshua's a great, awful name for a dog.
Or, like, Marty, or whatever. Like, I mean, I get it, whatever, human names for dogs, but Bandit, you know what I mean? That's a fucking dog name.
Yeah.
Bandit. Someone grew up in the 90s. I mean, I'm all right with you naming your dog, you know, Samantha or whatever. If you name your kid, like, you know, Buckwheat or
Wonder Man.
Yeah, if you name your kid fucking Zinger or whatever, Cosmo. You name your kid Cosmo. But dude, the fucking I like the idea of the Cambodian family being like, no, they just think we eat scorpion. Come in here, and they're just cracking cans of Chef Boyardee. Ravioli.
But there is a culture in those countries of poor areas where, like, we'll eat what meat is available, and if we live near a lake, we're gonna fish. And that's why the wild dogs, people, like, they eat dogs. Like, how can they eat dogs? Like, they're not grabbing somebody out of somebody's home. They're just all over, walking around, just meat boxes.
It's not until you go to places like that where you're like, oh, this is so the normalization of it. Like, it doesn't even feel. Like, they're not, like, half of these kids don't grow up with dogs as pets.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean? It's a strange thing to have them as pets. So my friend Rolf is his travel writer, Rolf Potts, and he said whenever he does, it's a great name. He does speeches at schools, and invariably every other time they ask him, like, have you ever eaten dog meat, or have you ever seen dog meat being served? These are college kids in America. And he's always like, rolls eyes, like, yeah, but like, and they're like, oh, he goes, but you gotta understand, the countries that most eat dog meat, like Korea is a big dog meat country. There are a lot of them, but that's like, I think, a big one. But like, he goes, they look at us in America as with embarrassment by how we treat our elderly.
Yeah.
Just shove them off into homes. And he goes, they look down on us for that. You're looking down on them for eating what's not a pet there.
Yeah.
They're looking down on us like you treat your humans like trash.
Yeah. They may eat a fucking stray Labrador. We force children to pray to a God that hates them.
Right.
Or doesn't even care. You know, like, there's a lot. We tell gay people they can't be married, even though we say they can.
Yeah. So what was the bar scene like after Katrina?
Well, dude, I mean, I for the longest time, I can't remember the exact timeline of when it happened, but when the city really reopened and tried to function again, there was a curfew.
Why? Because of looting?
Because of like all the reports of looting and fucking people being shot and like.
Wait, the reports, meaning that wasn't what's happening?
There was definitely looting happening, but the media also for sure fucking threw it. I mean, I remember watching a report them being like Orleans Parish Prison, which is a pretty, it's not like, it's a pretty big fucking prison complex in the middle of the city, OPP. They were like, the prisoners have rioted and taken control of the prisoners and have prison. And have like hostages. That was like on the news for like 10 minutes, and then it wasn't. So, you know what I mean? Like, major media outlets were just reporting anything they fucking heard.
By the way, that's for everything. Nancy Grace was like, after Colorado legalized marijuana, Simmons, Washington were the first states. And she goes, I told you there was a crime. I said there was going to be a crime wave, and here it is. There's a crime wave in Colorado. People are like, wait. No, it's not. What are you talking? You can just say that. And she was like, wink, wink. Yes, I can. I can just say whatever the fuck I want.
I'm a reporter.
Yeah. Even though it's nothing like that's ever happened, I'll just say it. So yeah, what were the bars like and stuff? So by the way, I had the same thing where I was talking to a guy from Yemen, a Uber driver, and I was like, do you go home at all anymore? I like talking to them, especially from countries like that. And he goes, yeah, no, I visit like once a year. I'm like, you're not worried about like the bombing? It's how is it? He goes, dude, that's just in like one main city. He goes, that's overblown. It's just media shit. I'm like, wow, that's all we hear. He goes, I know, it's all I hear too from there, but from home, it's like, we're fine.
Yeah, dude, my friend's sister, they're Persian. And my friend's sister, she's also my friend. It's fucking weird that I said it like that. Like my friend's sister, it's like, she's also my friend. Scheherazade, she found out she had family in Iran and like last year.
Her name is Scheherazade?
Scheherazade.
Is that the name, Lauren's name from A Thousand?
I want to hear your version again. Say it again.
Scheherazade?
That's just
what is it? Look something up for me.
What? Okay, what? What do you want me to look up?
1001 Nights? The woman from 1001 Nights?
100. What is that? 1001 Nights.
It's a story of a queen who married a king, and he would just kill the queen after he fucked her. But this one told us.
Oh yeah, Scheherazade. Yeah, same name. Yeah,
Scheherazade. That's how it is. Scheherazade.
Scheherazade.
So what's her name?
Scheherazade.
Scheherazade.
Yeah, but she went to Iran like last year to like visit like family she found out she had there, and. The whole time they were like, we don't hate America. We're not trying to, what are you talking about? She said it was just very, from being there, people are like pretty chill. And we're like, I don't know what the fuck you think we're doing, what your government's telling you we're doing, but we're just hanging out, going to markets.
It's
like you.
Crazy. It's crazy. Most of the time, Gavin McInnes asked me this once about somewhere. And he was like, I think Thailand or something. And he goes, what do they think about America? And my answer that he said he quoted a billion times, because, and I goes, they don't. They have their own concerns. Well, America's just another country that's not theirs. Same as Russia. They don't think about us. They think about our Hollywood and our movies, but that's about it.
They watch our movies. They watch our news and all the bullshit.
Yeah, they're like, what do you think of our president? I'm like, I don't know, but I was when I was riding elephants, they're like, America, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
He's not even America. Sure, sure.
There's a 17-year delay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, exactly. He was already the mayor at that time, or the governor. So, what were you saying? Forget about the reports of looting. So, there was a curfew?
There was a curfew, and you were there fucking, I forget the exact time. I want to say, but it was like a 1 a.m. curfew, maybe midnight.
Okay.
So it was basically like bars could be open, but you had to be off the street at midnight. And it wasn't even the New Orleans police. It was the National Guard. So like
National Guard came in to enforce it.
They'd been in. Yeah, it was a few months of this where like if you were on the street after curfew, they arrested you. No questions asked. And you were detained until 6 a.m. No charges, nothing, but you were just detained. It happened to me twice.
What do you mean? What happened?
So there was this one bar that it was a very short-lived thing, but they would do lock-ins. So at midnight, they would just lock the doors, and you just stayed inside till 6 a.m.
Australia has that.
Right. It wasn't illegal for the bars to be open.
They couldn't let new people in.
But they couldn't let anybody in, or nobody, but technically no one could be on the street. So as long as you were indoors, people not leaving or entering, it didn't matter. And I did it once, and it kind of sucked.
Because you have to stay till what, 6 a.m.?
6 a.m. So you're like, by like...
It's like you and I, and I remember me and Norman had a night at the underground, at the Black.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking and drinking beers, like, one more. And then all of a sudden you look through and you realize they pulled the curtains all down. So you wouldn't see, and all of a sudden you see light coming through. You're like, oh, fuck. Oh, it's 7 a.m. It's 6 a.m. You feel like a winner because it's like New York and you're living New York the way you should.
Right, right.
But like, you don't plan on having that night.
No.
It just happens.
When you plan it, it blows, dude.
Yeah.
Because by like at like 1:30, you're like, this is amazing. Fuck the system. We survive. Then by 4, you're like, shit, I got 2 more hours.
I have to stay.
Yeah, yeah. And so one of those times I was doing that and I convinced the guy to just let me go because the place I was staying was like 3 blocks away. And I'm like, I just fucking truck it there. I'll get there. And of course I didn't truck it. And I was just walking and a fucking Humvee made the corner and they just spotlight you. And they're just like, hands, and they take your ID and they zip tie you and they brought you to the W Hotel.
Wow. Cool.
And you just, up. What's that?
Cool place to be locked up.
Yeah, well, it was like they didn't lock you up. They'd unzip tie you, and you just like stay here. And then so you'd fill out, you'd write your name down. They'd get you all your information, they had your ID, and then you just had an area just to kind of chill in until 6 a.m. Then they let you go. They just didn't want you on the streets, right?
Wow,
it's fucking insane. And then like,
was everybody there drunk?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. Because who else out? Nobody's just like
it felt that way.
On a walk.
It felt like it was a bunch of different versions of me from other realities. A bunch of other like 26-year-olds who randomly
I'll truck it.
And they all and like, yep, you definitely end up in the back of a truck. A military Humvee being taken to your detainment center.
It's like the Great Escape when they finally get caught and then it's like, oh, Jenkins.
Yeah.
Smith. Yeah. Like, you all got caught again.
Like, it was a moment where I felt like I could have gone like, hey, guys, we all peed the bed twice this week, right? We're all going to pee the floor here, right? But the curfew lifted at New Year's Eve that night, that year. So New Year's Eve was New Year's Eve 2005 turned 2006 was the first time you could stay out past midnight. It was fucking bedlam, too. It was great.
Wow.
But it was like, yeah, dude, it was a very dire feeling of like, fuck, will life ever be the same again? And that's what kind of like, I don't know, gives me some sort of hope in this situation where it's like, that was a catastrophic destruction on a level unseen before that. And it made it through. Now, I know that was just one city versus the world.
But it's your world.
It's world. But that's the thing we got to keep remembering about this situation is like, we're not doing this as a reaction to like, oh my God, there's this disease that when you get it, you're dead 2 hours later. It's a preemptive thing to save lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're doing this on purpose.
Right.
It's a choice the fucking entire planet made. So like, I do have that. And I know I'm on Twitter. Friends of ours are just constantly fucking doomsday doorbells, just ringing all that shit. And I get it.
For you.
But it's also like it's a fucking psychological. Like I can't read some of these tweets anymore. Like I had to unfollow certain people. Like I'm bored and pissed off at how much you want to be the doomsday guy. Like I get it.
It's the new political. You know, the guys in politics who are like your friends who are like, dude, you're posting too much. I don't even care. Like I'm not even political, but like you're bothering me.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, why all the time? Get back to the yellow shit.
Yeah, dude. They don't like a guy like Norman's. I almost feel like Norman is to Twitter right now, like Neo was to the Matrix. Like he's almost too plugged in. Like that, he's like become a machine, dude. Follow Norman on Twitter right now. He's like fucking tweeting a joke every like 2 minutes.
Mark Norm, you got no outlet. You got no outlet for your creativity.
Yeah, and he's good. It's like, this is good. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, no, he's a good joke writer for sure.
Yeah, man, he's actually a joke writer. Yeah, Mark's a fucking great joke writer. Yeah, I'm writing these long-winded fucking bits where I'm like, well, I can't do these again.
Yeah, Twitter is made for guys like Norman and Sam Morril.
Sam,
write jokes. I get laughs another way.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to do a long... Hey, come with me on this journey. You know, if we were dishes... Yeah. Like Norman and Morrill are definitely like stir fries, and you and I are definitely like souffles.
You know it's funny because I watch you because I see myself in you a lot. I'm sure it's vice versa, but like when I see you going down a long bit and the crowd's not into it, I'm just like, oh, he's in 8 minutes of agony and he's 2 minutes in. It's like, but those guys can be like, I'll try a different joke. Like we're like stuck.
And it's like, I got to slug this out for at least.
Yeah, I can do a shortened version of it for 7 minutes, but.
Isn't it great though in those moments where you're like, all right, this is going to be bumpy for the next few minutes, but trust me, when we land, we'll land.
Yeah, and exactly.
And then it does land. And you're like, aha! You almost want to be like, told you.
Well, yeah, I mean, usually if they're just not into it though, it's one of those things where it's like, fuck.
Yeah. Right. Dude, it's funny. Cause you just now you're like, I see myself in you a lot. I'm sure it's vice versa. What if I was like, no, never.
Jay was doing that with Kimowitz, where people were going like to Jay, they were like, I'm sure Dave always spoke so highly of you, and you know he's one of his favorite guys, just not even like professionally but personally, he just loved you so much, and whenever your name came up he would just light up. And Jay was like, oh dude, thank you for saying that, I really appreciate it. Obviously, he did not say the same about you, but thank you for saying that.
Great.
Wait, yeah,
dude. Do you know, I'm trying to remember this guy's name. I know you know this guy. He's a Portuguese comic. Adrian?
No. Ooh. Not a Portuguese. Argentinian.
Is he not Portuguese?
Adrian Minkovic.
He's Argentinian.
Yeah, Argentinian.
Fuck. The only reason I thought Portuguese because I thought Brazilian. So I should have said Brazilian. But yes, I like Adrian. You know him, yeah, right?
Sure. Friend of mine.
So... in Edinburgh last year, it's Adrian Soder and I, and we're hanging out.
God's a good,
on
God's a good drinker.
Yeah, he's a good hang. He's got a fun show. But the three of us are hanging out. If you know Edinburgh, we were on Cowgate underneath one of those bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're waiting for Caitlin. She's coming to meet up. And it was there that Soder got the text from Jay being like, you know, telling him about Dave.
Oh, that was August. Damn.
So right there on the fucking street, to me, Soder's like, holy fuck, dude, Dave Kimowitz just got murdered. I was like, what? And then...
It's such a double. It's like, Dave is dead? And Dave is dead how?
Yeah, exactly. It's like
two for one.
Fucking psycho, man. And I was like, what? And then Adrian's right there, and he goes, oh my God. Oh no. And it's like, yeah. And then you just think like, yeah, Dave knows, or he knows who Dave is. The fucking guy lives in New York. And so like, the three of us are just sitting there, so like just shell shocked. And then Caitlin walks up, like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh my God. Dave from the stand, Dave Kimowitz got murdered. And she's like, oh my God. And then Adrian goes, what? And I was like, wait, did you not just, you just reacted with us 2 minutes ago and now you're reacting again? And he was just like, oh, I thought it was a different guy. And we're like,
that's what you believed?
Who did you think it was? And he said, I don't know what he said. I got to be honest. But it's funny because he always has the same joke. Because I love that dude, but his fucking English is terrible. And he always has this joke where he's like, well, Sean doesn't understand what I'm saying because he only speaks one language. And I was like, yeah, You nailed it, buddy. You got me.
Yeah, the language you're speaking in, I didn't understand it. You don't speak
English. I don't understand you because I only speak English. You got me. But he's right. I wish I did speak a fucking second language. I didn't realize Segura spoke Spanish so fucking well.
Oh, fluently. Dude, when you learn, I've learned a little bit of Spanish. I now understand the grammatical errors Latin people make when speaking English.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, because they're actually doing it right in their language, and then they're translating it to English, where it's like, no S, it's like, not is going.
That
is the right way to do it there. And so then if we say, he's not going, they'd be like, what? You know?
And they're like, oh, I'm sorry. When I was processing this language in the language plant I have in my head, you dumb fucking American.
Yeah.
That bums me out when I go do like festivals abroad, or anytime I meet someone who's bilingual, it makes me immediately massively insecure. Because like growing up in Louisiana, you weren't even encouraged to think much about a second language.
Yeah, I have a Dutch friend, Denmark, from Denmark.
Yeah, they speak like Danish six friend. Languages.
Yeah. Oh yeah, German and Danish. Yeah. Germans and Danes can they can know enough about each other's language they can get by. It's kind of like Italians and Spanish. But like, she said she heard somebody. This is a hostile friend. She goes, she heard some American say, "Thank God I'm American, where everybody speaks my language." And she just kind of rolled her eyes, like, "Yeah, thank God. Yeah. You don't know any other language except your own. You fucking idiot."
Dude, I mean, I'm mainly jealous of bilingual people just for the opportunity when you're like, when you can speak to someone else in a different language in front of someone because you know they don't speak that language.
Oh yeah, the secrets.
And you can just, you're just shitting. Like that's happened to me sometimes. I'm like, they're just shitting on me right now.
Yeah,
these and fucking they yeah, they certainly are.
But what like, was, yeah. No. What was like the economic impact of Katrina? It shut down everything for how long?
I mean, it wasn't that long. I feel like the city was totally shut down for like a month, maybe 6 weeks. And then it kind of like,
that means no one worked for that time.
Well, no, everyone worked for FEMA at that time because FEMA came in and hired everyone to do the blue tarping, the roof tarps.
Oh,
and like you did that for a while, but then and then everybody started getting their FEMA checks, their insurance checks, and then they would pay you. I remember I worked with like two of my buddies. Like people would pay us like $5,000 between three of us to gut a house entirely, which would take you about a week. Your average house would take you about to gut a house meant you went in, you pulled out all the shit, you pulled down all the walls, you pulled up all the floor, you just completely gutted it to the beams, right? And between three of us, that would take us about 6 days, and then we just split the $5,000 three ways, and you just do like a house a week if you could.
Oh, that's cool.
Or a house. Yeah. And like, so you were making, but people could pay you that money because they had all this insurance money. So like people were working, but it was mainly in that field. Dude, I wish I could enjoy alcohol the way you enjoy a beer after like 12 hours of gutting a house.
Remember Shawshank? When they're like, we felt like the beer was piss warm, but we felt like free men that day.
Dude, 100%. Like that moment, that like beer in that instance, I remember that feeling, and that it was like the saliva of the gods, dude. It was amazing. Like that the way it tastes and
saliva
like
of the gods.
And like it like bubbles in your mouth and you feel it. You can like feel the alcohol penetrating your sore body and making it like, it's okay, buddy. It's okay. Relax. It tasted so good. God, it was. That was the one time in my life I felt like a fucking, I don't know. Like it was awful because you had to wear a mask to go into the house because if you breathed in the mold, they'd tell you you'd die almost immediately.
Really?
So, I mean, yeah, that mold is scary, dude. They're like, if that shit gets in your lungs, you're fucked. And you're wearing gloves and you're just ripping walls down and you're fucking walking around with a crowbar and you're just bashing shit and dragging people's lives out onto the front lawn for, you know, garbage men to pick up, and then you'd go to
knock down walls.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you'd run and dive through walls if you knew where, like, between that part was kind of fun. You were like,
what?
Yeah, when you started breaking through the sheetrock and you realized how far The studs were spaced out. You just figure out, like, all right, right here, and you just run and fucking dive through it. And it was pretty easy because you'd already, like, kind of broken the wall down on either side, but also, like, it, most of them were water damaged. So you just dive through a wall.
Wow.
And you're just, yeah, dude, you just, and you'd go to, like, there'd be, like, one bar open, and you'd go just covered in fucking sheetrock soot and just grime, and you're just pounding Coors Light. That's why I have an affinity for Coors Light. I still think it's the best light beer.
Why? Because you had it then? It's tied to an emotion?
I just drank so much of it post-Katrina. Yeah. Like, it was just like, that was, for some reason, that was the beer that I guess they wanted to get rid of, or just the guys I was with always bought, but it was like, Coors Light, fuck yeah.
I had that with Chang.
Chang?
Chang beer.
What, from working? From
No, it's just emotionally based, where it's like you tie it to a memory, and then you're like, you just can't, it wouldn't hold up to a taste test, but like, memories are part of taste, and it's just like,
oh yeah, sure.
The times you had while you were having that beer was like, what an amazing beer, because it's not just the taste, it's the fucking after just gutting a house with friends.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
But that was, I mean, I guess like the feeling, when I look back on Katrina, the one thing I can say is like, I don't know, like, and I guess we're kind of seeing it now, like, yeah, no matter how cynical you are, you have to in some way acknowledge like there is an inherent good in people.
You what? Know,
because like that, if there wasn't, society would never have lasted this long. You know, there is this like, there is this inherent thing in humanity that is like, hey, we do at your core give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, everybody wants to point out the negativity of like, you know, America and capitalism taught us to not give a fuck about each other. It's all, and that is true. That has happened. But there is also this, for all the fucking idiots, you know, out there at spring break, just doing all that shit, and all the people who refuse to quarantine, there's also millions of people who are doing the exact opposite.
Right. It's like what you focus on. People are like, New Yorkers aren't doing shit. And it's like, no, New Yorkers are doing quite a lot. They're just, many New Yorkers aren't doing shit, but still most are like, I mean, you look in the streets, it's not like half, it's way less than half of people out. It's like 7-8% of people.
There's probably a million New Yorkers who aren't doing shit, and then 7 million New Yorkers who are doing a lot.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's the thing. Like,
so that's how it was in New Orleans?
Yeah. Like, you just started to feel like this, there just felt like, you know, as it persisted, as it went on, and as everybody kind of realized, like, it just kind of felt like the new normal, where you were like, yeah, this is just normal now, driving through neighborhoods that don't have power, that no one lives in because the water fucking wiped it out. Or, you know, hey, this is normal now, like, where one business is completely open and thriving, and across the street, the building that the other business in is collapsed because of the tidal surge. You just kind of got used to it, but there also seemed to be this, like, I don't know, like, humanity that fucking emerged. This, like, feeling of, like, hey, man, we do, are you okay? You sort of seem to be checking in on each other a little bit more, and I kind of feel that now.
Yeah, I get a lot of that, like, are you okay? You're okay? Almost people from, like, your deep past. I'm like, I know I haven't thought of you in a long time, but are you okay?
Yeah, man. It's
that part is actually quite nice. So what I found for this is, if you compartmentalize,
right,
almost any situation seems better when you manage to compartmentalize. If you don't, then you got to be like, overall plus or negative. It's like, who knows? But if you go like, old people dying are bad. Okay.
Yeah.
So now that's bad. Take that out and say, like, anything good comes. It's like, well, I talking on the phone to friends. Well, I talked to Veter for like 40 minutes on the phone, which I've never done. You know, it's like, that's a nice thing.
Yeah.
And I'm saying a lot of that.
Gary Veter. Call it the Gary Veter clause, where you connect with someone you didn't realize you liked that much.
You're like, well, we're still on the phone.
Yeah.
The hour has changed.
Like, man, I didn't know I liked you this much. It's funny. I've had that exact thing with Gary Veter, but standing on a street corner after we both, I don't think he bombed, but I know I did. We both fucking ate shit at a New York Comedy Club or somewhere. And it was one of those, have you ever had that where like, you both get off stage and you're both just like unhappy and you're
dazed.
Like,
yeah.
You're just kind of walking and you like, but him and I just had like a street, like one of those good, like 2 hour, just standing on the street corner talks about life.
Standing. Then you walk like 2 blocks and you stop again.
Yeah.
You like walk another block and stop again for another 30 minutes, then walk another block, stop again.
And I feel like that's like kind of what like we all have to fucking do as a society right now is just kind of like stop on the corner and just have a conversation. Just like re-get to know one another and ourselves at the same time, because it's the only fucking way.
Were people doing that after Katrina?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Checking in, like, how you doing? How was your house affected? Shit like that?
Yeah, like, everyone was a little bit nicer, you know what I mean? Like, you, it felt like, I mean, like, that's the other thing, though. The internet was not the internet yet.
Wasn't turning people against each other back then.
Right. Like, there was no social media then. There was friends, there was MySpace was barely existing.
Friendster back then.
Friendster, and then I think MySpace was definitely existing, because I remember that's how you checked.
That was, MySpace wasn't negative. MySpace never got negative. The only negative was like, why am I not in your top four? Why am I not in your top eight?
Yeah, well, remember that when you ranked your friends?
Rank them. Like, oh yeah, this would be a great idea. It allows you to rank your friends, so all your other friends won't be mad at all.
Yeah, dude. That's like when you're like, I remember being into this girl, and then for the longest time I was her number one, and then I was her number two all of a sudden. I was like, what the fuck? And it, like, it was an argument that ensued. But,
and like, in her head, she's like, oh, my friend Jim will be my number one. That'll be great for him. It's like, but what about who was your number one? It's like, I consider that.
You better fucking marry Jim or he better be gay.
Yeah.
But like yeah, man, like, so that was the one thing. Like, you didn't have this fucking source of connectivity that ironically turned people against each other more than it did connect them. But,
well, me and Norman talked about it. We're like, all those differences now that people were getting so, 4 months ago, that we're getting so upset about, like, my specific gender is not on the DMV list. You know, well, my Zer is not there. Where it's like, now it's like, well, that seems ridiculous. That actually does not make me unique, because what makes me the same as everybody is this disease we're all worried about getting and inflicting on other people. So now it's almost like, yeah, those things, sure, let's take care of it, but no reason to be angry about it anymore. We're all victims right now. So it's like, it's tough to be like, I'm more of a victim. It's like, not really. Yeah.
Like, we are, like, we're the people in Independence Day, and the virus is the aliens.
Yeah. I think a lot more false positives on COVID from millennials who have been taught, I think, that your victimhood is your bragging rights. So whenever they get sick now, they're like, I've got the virus. They self-diagnose as having had it. So they have this big thing to brag about. And then I'm saying left and right, all this stuff, like my girlfriend's sister's friends, like four of them have gotten it and then later found out, no, actually, I did not have it. Because they want to have this bragging thing of, I had this big thing.
Dude, do you think that's a thing of, like, people, like, because I think it is, people, like, your victimhood is not an accomplishment.
But they feel like it is.
But they, it's like, crazy.
My dad didn't talk about the Holocaust until I was, like, 36 years old. We couldn't get anything out of him.
Right.
Eventually, like, started going to the memorial and started, like, talking about it a little more. But, like, it used to be this thing of, like, that's a hurdle. I overcame it. And we don't talk about that shit because took care of it. I'm a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's like, it's just a different mentality of, like, brag about what hurts you. But you didn't even accomplish. And now they do this thing too. Millennial comics, not shitting on millennials. That's a mistake. I shouldn't shit millennials. They inherited a system that's already fucked. But I mean, like, I know comics are like, my dad was the first Native American to ever work on the railroads. And you're like, but you did nothing. Right. So why is this what you're talking about?
Or, you know what I fucking hate is I've had people like be like, oh, your parents are still together? Well, lucky you. And it's like, what the fuck is that?
When I got dumped by some chick when I was at college, I walked on her fucking my friend. That doesn't hurt me because my parents are together.
Yeah. Or it's like, are you telling me I'm wrong because I haven't experienced growing up with divorced parents? Because fuck you.
Uh-huh.
You didn't, like, it's not like you did that.
It's so weird how it shifted. When I was in college, it was like that. Even with, like, oh, well, your parents pay for your education. Like, well, they're taking out massive amount of loans, and I'm taking out every student loan I can, and I'm taking a student jobs, and sure, I am. But, like, are you saying it's wrong that my parents worked hard and were able to pay for my college education? That's a bad thing now?
Yeah. Or the fact that, like, oh, you've never... You've never been an addict? Well, lucky you. And it's like,
yeah,
I'm sorry that my DNA wasn't compromised. I'm not giving you shit for having been one.
Yeah, what happened to those fucking alcoholics who were like hiding the fact they sucked dick for rock?
Yeah,
you know, now they're bragging about it. It's like, you're supposed to be embarrassed about this.
I mean, yeah, because I anybody who's been through some awful shit like that, I have never in my life judged them in any way. And it's like, hey,
I have. Yeah, that sucks. You sucked your father's dick. You didn't realize you were a stripper. You sucked your father's dick and then found out. Yeah, that sucks for you. Oh, my God. You shouldn't do coke.
And maybe you knew it was your dad's dick the whole time. I'm like, maybe. You want to really be a victim? Why don't you fucking double down and reveal that you just wanted a reason to suck your dad's dick? Now I respect you because you show some initiative. Yeah. Dude, it's like a fucking, I don't know. I hate this idea that people act like the shit they went through somehow is like they wrote a story that they started.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't start it. It happened to you.
Yeah. And
imagine if the Holocaust was now and people are like, I got put in a camp.
Oh, Jesus, dude. I mean, you see the thing that I actually think this is all right. The thing that, like, you should do this. Like,
what?
Relatives of Holocaust survivors are getting the numbers tattooed on them as, like, homage to, you gotta do it, dude, do it.
It's not an homage because you're doing it. You're doing it so everyone can, it's like, it's why you're doing it. You're doing it so you can be the center of it.
I mean, yeah, making it about them. I kind of think that's fucking hilarious.
It's hilarious getting that. I remember in college, I walked around on Yom HaShoah on the Remembrance Day, the Holocaust Memorial Day.
Say it again.
Yom HaShoah. Yom is day. HaShoah is the word they have for Holocaust. It's like a hurricane.
Why is that not more known? I've never heard that before.
That should be because Jews have nothing to do with the media. I don't really know. It's a good question, then. It's a good question because my answer is not the answer. Remember Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Okay, that should
be a massive thing. But anyway, yeah. In Israel, they sound an alarm. Everyone has a minute of silence. Like cars stop. There's an air horn. It's an air raid horn, and no matter where you're walking, you just stop. You should look up videos of it, of Israel air horn. And it's, you see the streets and everyone's walking and all of a sudden you go, and everyone's walking and they just stop on the street. It's frozen. Cars pull over and everyone just stops for a minute long and everyone just peels out and starts their day again. It's eerie. Dude. It's
I would want for when you said stops, I was like, wait, for a whole day?
No, just a minute.
Yeah. That would be terrible depending on where you are. You're like, fuck, I was trying to get to this bar.
Like, I'm so close. Damn, I gotta wait this year.
I was trying to get home. Now I just gotta sleep in the street.
But I remember in college one day, I wore on my arm, I wore a Juden armband. I just put it on my arm and didn't mention it, just wore it around. A couple teachers knew what I was doing, a couple didn't. But I was like, didn't mention it, just did it, just to be like, this is what they had to go through.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was definitely looking for attention because I was a college kid.
Right, right, right.
I wasn't doing it to spread awareness. I was doing it to spread awesomeness about myself.
Like, look at me, Ari David Shapir?
David Shapir, yeah.
Did you go by David?
No, never. Never? But if you have to guess any Jew's middle name, if their first name is not David, guess David.
Ah, dude, I always guess Shlomo. Because that is... That is the greatest fucking name I've ever heard in my entire life. Caitlin's Jewish and she fucking said it once and she's also got a list.
I know she's from Shlomo, from school.
Dude, oh, I didn't really like because it sounds like slow-mo, like slow play for slow.
I never even thought of that.
Yeah, dude. Like it sounds like something. The name sounds like something you would hear like a fucking mom in like the Midwest be like, Jonathan, you get out of bed, you shlomo. You gotta go be late to school. I know, dude. Oh, it's the greatest name on earth. If you are a Jewish parent and you are having a child, please name it Shlomo.
Please.
And apparently the female version of that is Shlomi, which I think I like even more.
No. Shlomi is like the Billy of Bill.
Oh fuck, okay. Still like it. Yeah. Shlomo! Oh, Shlomi. That's the best fucking name I've ever heard. I love it.
It's also Shloimi. You put an I in the middle there, Shloimi.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah.
Shloimi?
Shloimi.
Shloimi.
It's more Yiddish like Billy.
When you're back in New York, have you ever been to like South Williamsburg or Crown Heights?
Yeah.
Like have you ever walked around those neighborhoods and just start dropping Hebrew on motherfuckers?
I will sometime. I used to do this thing where I see a man and a woman touching, if they're Orthodox Jews, not Hasidic ones. Like my girlfriend used to live where the Satmar Jews lived.
Yeah.
Is it Satmar? Not Lubavitch, but close. And I would just tell the Orthodox Jews if I see them holding hands, and so I'll hold hands. The law is Nagia. It's a law of touching before we marry. Right. And I would just walk by in like torn jeans and like ratty, like koi wear, you know? Walk by, I would just stop. Like, let's say I'm walking by here, I'll do it on the screen. I'm walking by, I would just stop and look and go, Nagia, and then just walk by.
Like you're the fucking like you're the undercover Orthodox dude.
Yeah, exactly. The undercover OD.
Yeah, the OD baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a I don't know. I would wonder what they like, how would they treat you? Hypothetically, if you fucking were walking through South Williamsburg, right?
But worse than a goy. They're treating me worse than a goy.
Even if you drop Hebrew on them, they're still like, oh, wow.
Because and I'll tell you the reason why. A lot of this shit is misconstrued as evil when it's not. There are the seven laws of Noah. The seven, Sheva Halacha Min Noah. No, I don't know what it's called. But like seven laws of Noah, which every man has to do. Okay. Do or not do, which is no rape, no murder.
All right.
If you commit these, you go to hell, even if you're not Jewish. You don't have to keep kosher, Sean. That's not one of your laws.
If
you eat ham, that has no effect on you going to heaven. That's a cool thing about how Jews treat non-Jews.
Ham, dude. So yeah. That's good.
You still go to heaven.
Okay.
You don't have to live by our laws, and you still get to go to heaven. God loves all his creatures. He only holds us to a higher standard. No murder, no rape. You can't eat live animals except fish. So you can't take a bite out of the neck of a cow.
But I can fucking grab a trout and just bite its head right off.
Absolutely. Jews can do that too.
All done. Okay. Because I can do that too. Okay, good.
Yeah. Those are three. I forget what the other ones are. It might be don't steal. It might be respect your mom and dad. I don't know. But there's seven laws. Besides those, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You can gossip. You can fucking anything else you want.
Right.
Jews live by a higher standard. So when they see a Jew, me, not living up to their standards, it's how dare you. And I could be walking right next to you. If we're both on cell phones on Shabbos, they're like, excuse me, Sean, I got to go demean this guy, Ari.
Wow.
Yeah. They hate me. They don't care about you at all.
But it seems like you're not, but if you're just hanging out with me, you know, you're not murdering, raping, eating live animal.
I have more laws to live by. I live by.
That's like a second code.
We have 313 laws or 316 laws, I forget.
That's a good number, dude.
We got to live by all those. You got seven.
Yeah, dude, I'll take the seven. Give me a few more if you'd like.
It's great not to be chosen.
Yeah, dude. The great. Oh, that's fucking... So because the seven laws of Noah are very similar to the Ten Commandments.
Yes, I actually want to look it up right now.
Like, it's like Noah and your boy Moses came out with the same shit. And we're like, how many are you going to go with? I'm going to go with 10. fuck you. I'm going to do it in 7. Yeah. And they just went there to the different camps and set the rules, bro. Seven laws of Noah. All right, you do that. I'm going to look up the Ten Commandments because I don't remember what the fuck they are.
Gosh, I know it. Okay. Worshipping idols, cursing God, murder,
adultery, sexual immorality.
Okay.
That's rape. Theft. Yeah. I thought theft might be one. I didn't know about worshiping idols because what about the idol worshiping non-Jews? Eating flesh torn from a living animal.
Okay.
As well as the obligation to establish courts of justice. So you got to have a country, a society that has just system.
All right. Ten commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. So there you go. Right off the right off the vein.
We're the same.
Idols. No, you shall not make idols. Yeah. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So don't talk shit.
Okay. That's the same.
Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy.
Nope. You don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that?
You don't have to do that. I do.
Okay, but that's...
It's not in the seven laws.
Okay. Honor your father and mother. Yeah.
You don't have to do that. We do.
Yeah, you shall not murder. Got to do that.
Yeah, we both got to do that.
You shall not commit adultery.
We both got to do that.
Okay. You shall not steal.
Yeah, I guess that's both of us.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie. I guess that's what that is.
That might be in the obligation of establishing courts of justice, but go ahead.
Okay. You shall not pass gas publicly.
That's not one.
No, it's definitely one.
No. I'm almost positive that's not one.
I like almost positive. Yes. Written in stone was you shall not fart in public. You shall not covet. You shall not covet.
Have your neighbor's wife. Don Barrett used to do this thing we called a Q&A at the Comedy Store. We'd ask questions to Jews. And he was like, isn't it true the Holocaust was just made up by Hollywood writers? I'm like, I'll look that up, but I don't think that's right.
That doesn't
I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure.
That doesn't seem 100% okay. That's fucking funny, dude, to just be like
the guy's like, I mean, I'll look if you seem sure of yourself, so I'll look it up. But you're like, wasn't it just 600 Jews, not 6 million? I'm like, I'm pretty sure it was 6 million, but I'll double check the number.
Oh, that's fucking funny, dude. Just for someone to be like, so is murder wrong? Yeah, it's debatable, but I'm going to go with yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to alienate anybody. How long was the recovery period for New Orleans for all this?
For Katrina?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, a decade, but I mean, a functional decade, but like, you know, the city was open again, but like, I think the city still has scars. You know what I mean? It still has its wounds. It still has its there's still like abandoned houses with the axes.
I saw those when we went. You did a great job tour guiding for us, by the way. Like, when we went, all your suggestions, we had a great time.
Oh, awesome, man. Yeah.
It was mostly staying in the French Quarter.
Yeah. Dude, that's what's fucking hilarious too. Not hilarious, but like, so right after the storm hit, all these like major televangelist fucking psychos were on TV, you know, being like, God sent Katrina to wipe out the debauchery and homosexuality. They were all talking specifically about the French Quarter, which is where all the debauchery and homosexuality happens. And that was the one area of New Orleans completely untouched by the storm.
Really?
Like the French Quarter got water, but it got like maybe 4 to 6 inches of water. They had power the whole time. There was no real damage. And like, for the most part, it stayed open. Like bars were still open and people who lived there were like living there functionally. But, you know, 40 miles northeast of New Orleans, you know, southeast Mississippi, bunch of mega churches wiped off the fucking map.
Yeah. It's like, what was God? Did he have anything to do with that at all?
Yeah, it's like, God doesn't miss, according to you. You know what I mean? God hates the debauchery and the homos. Thinks they're pretty cool. Gave them electricity. But it took a while, man. It was, I mean, I could say storm hit in 05. I left early 06. I'd say it was around like 2010 when I'd go back where it started to feel like it was in full swing again.
2010. So five.
Yeah, but it was still like open. Like the city was still functioning, but you know, it took a while. I think just like 2 or 3 years ago, it hit the capacity it was at before the storm of people living there. That took a while for people to want to go back. And it's kind of the one thing about the city that will always keep it honest is the threat of hurricanes kind of scares away the cowards. You know, like the.
Like, why do you want to be here?
Yeah. But it's like, you know, it'll happen again. There'll be another fucking shit storm that'll hit probably worse. That was the other thing people forget. Katrina, the way it hit, wasn't worst case scenario.
What do you mean? Because the levees held
went,
a lot?
It didn't go directly up the mouth of the Mississippi. It went up the mouth, but like veered off course. If the storm were ever to go directly up the mouth and stay, it would, I mean, it would be much worse. It would be worse than it already was. And it's hard to even imagine how could it be worse than it already was. I guess that would be total flooding of the city, but like, you know, the government was lucky. The government luckily came in and blew the levees just in time. So
what do you mean?
That was a big conversation, conspiracy. I don't know. It could be true, but like, there's a lot of people that say that there was the fucking Bush administration that the levees held, and then the Bush administration sent operatives in to blow the levee at two points to flood the city because they didn't want. It is kind of obvious when you look back, like the Bush administration did nothing because they hoped people would not want to move back and that the city would just be completely devastated and they'd get in there and just bulldoze the whole thing because then you'd have a $1 billion industrial port. They could build anything they want.
George Bush hates black people. Kanye West. There you go. To Mike Myers.
I remember watching that in real fucking time, dude.
Really?
In real fucking time. Because we
had a crazy moment. And Mike Myers was like, what?
Insane moment. It was great. But like, we were all glued to the TV for the week afterwards because the internet wasn't like this yet. You know what I mean? Like, you were still watching fucking NBC, Channel 4 News and shit.
Yeah.
And I remember like that moment. I'm just like, I remember the exact fucking second, like, George Bush doesn't care about black people. And then they cut to Chris Tucker, who's just like, hey, you know, it was because
it was crazy. Because like, when you look at it, Kanye West got a reputation of being a crazy person. But here or there, he speaks what he thinks is the truth.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It's very possible he's right about that, where they're like, flood the parts of the city that are fucking black and poor, or at least poor.
Dude, there is, I mean, when you really look at it, it's like, yeah, where the two of the places where the levees broke, like they specifically were, the water just poured it. Like the lower Ninth Ward was devastated, and that was like primarily poor, like predominantly, mostly, like 95% below the pop.
And they're not thinking about the people, they're thinking about the actual monetary loss. They're like, there'll be less there.
Yeah, exactly.
But these people are like, it's my home. Who cares about monetary loss?
But that's what's kind of beautiful about it all is like it did bring the city together and in the rebuilding process. And this is what I hope happens here.
Okay.
In the like rebuilding process, it was almost like people started to take a look at like what the structure was. And they're like, wait, why is this here? This doesn't make any fucking sense. Get it out of there. Let's put this here instead. And then this here. Okay. Look at that. That works much better.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that's what happens here. Or it's like, hey, hold on. I've been funneling how much money elsewhere than the medical industry? Nah, fuck that. We gotta pay attention to that, among other places.
Yeah.
You know, but
I saw, well, hold on. You have a podcast now or no?
Yeah, it's on All Things Comedy. It's on Five Words. Yeah. Sean, you gotta do it.
I'll do it.
You gotta fucking do it. You, Caitlin and I do it. Yeah, you gotta do it.
Okay. Five Words, Sean Pat. So
yeah.
I'll mention in the intro too. I'll say it in the intro. But here's what I noticed when I was driving. So we took Bandit to the vet on our way out. Yeah, just to make sure, like, we're not gonna be able to take him to the vet for maybe 2-3 months. So
that, like, was still open.
The vets were open for emergencies and people leaving town.
Okay.
And they said, meet us at the door. We will open the door when it's time. You'll hand off your leash and then leave. Do not come in. Yeah. And when we're done, we'll call you and say, Bandit's ready. Come get your leash, take him out. Yeah, they were like taking real nice precautions. But yeah, but we were driving from the vet, it's in Chelsea, over to our take the last of our like perishables, you know, before we left to get our like stuff from the freezer and stuff like that. And we passed all these businesses that were closed down. Not forever, but you know, Old Navy, Paragon Sports, shit like that. And as we passed all these clothing stores that were not open, it just, we looked at them just like, they seem so foolish to even have all of them, you know, because there's no need for them at all. And it's like, is that normally like 2 months ago? Is that what we were just being marketed to just be consumers all the time? And it wasn't like one or two of these stores. It was littering the streets all over, was like a shop for this, a shop for that, shit we do not need. And I'm like, maybe the same thing what you're saying is maybe now we'll be like, hey, can we get rid of those and just sew up our clothes when they're torn?
Yeah. Dude, like, hey, maybe do we need to fucking build a shop? Do we need to build any more shit? Do we not already have enough, like, buildings? Let's just fill up the buildings. And then when those are filled, we'll figure out something else to do with our time.
Yeah.
Instead of just like real estate developers who are like, well, you know, we got to put up another, there's got to be another strip mall here. There's got to be another complex.
Like, yeah. And it's like, no, why?
Yeah. It doesn't need to be.
Did you guys start rethinking stuff in New Orleans after Katrina of like your worldview and like what's important, what's not?
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, it definitely fucked with like leaving was hard because I wasn't 100% sure. At first, like in early 2005, I made the decision to leave New Orleans in a year. I remember it was like in 1 year I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm either going to go to New York or LA, but I got to go. It's time to go. And then, you know, Katrina hits and then your fucking world's thrown up in upheaval. And then around February of 2006, I was like, all right, I'm going to go because I had seen, you know, my family was luckily, I'm very lucky, you know, like my fucking family sustained some financial and some hardships from it, but they made it through. And it was evident, you know, by then, 6 months after the storm hit, that shit was going to be all right for them. So I left, but it made me, like, when I left, realize, like, dude, like, you take for granted what it's like growing up in a city you actually like. Because I would meet all these people in L.A. You know, you meet so many comedians who are from, like, you know, the mid, and I don't want to shit on certain cities, being like an Omaha, Nebraska or somewhere where they just didn't like it. Where they were like, oh man, what's New Orleans? That's fucking crazy. And then you'd talk about it and they would be like, oh man, you know, yeah, I grew up in, you know, fucking Bakersfield, California, fucking hated it. And it's like, Jesus Christ, like to grow up somewhere that you look back and you're like, fuck that place. I never want to go back. I get it. If a place sucks, you don't want to go back. But like, it made me appreciate, I guess, my upbringing, my roots, who I am a lot more. Because it was something in the moment, the pre-Katrina, I didn't give a shit about or even think about. I was like, whatever, I'm just doing my fucking thing. And then after the thing, like, it gave me more of an appreciation for who I am as a person.
Yeah.
As I rocking this Yankees cap, like I give a shit about baseball. I don't. I just like the hat.
Like, but it's blue. I told you about the stand when they're doing those drinks.
No, what?
I just told Norman. I was like, you guys got to. So they're doing these, they have this whiskey sponsor. And this whiskey sponsor gave them a bunch of barrels.
Right. And
so they're making drinks, nothing with citrus because citrus goes bad,
right,
but where they're like corking up the barrel, like sealing it shut and letting whatever like ferment in there. So they have their whiskey, or use their whiskey, I forget what kind.
Okay.
And they're doing like three or four different standard whiskey drinks, an old fashioned,
okay,
whatever. And then like different comedians are having like, those ones called the Legion of Skanks. And it's all whiskey based drinks, but again, no citrus. So it can't be like the one with the egg, that ain't going to happen.
Right.
And I say you and Mark should, I know it's not a good drink, but you guys should have the Sazerac.
Oh dude, it's a, you don't like the Sazerac?
I mean, you know, it is what it is, but it's not.
I'd rather do a Vieux Carré. If they let us do that.
A what?
A Vieux Carré?
It is one of those. Is that a New Orleans drink?
Fuck yeah.
Sounds French.
That's a New Orleans drink. Yeah, it's got fucking whiskey and absinthe, I believe.
Oh, yeah, do that then.
Yeah, I'd rather do that. That shit's delicious. I'll crush a Vieux Carré, dude. It's badass.
All right.
Yeah, dude.
I felt like I must have had it when I went.
Oh, dude, it's fucking, well, it's the kind of
drink. Do you like Sazerac? No.
I like a Sazerac. It's fine.
It's like, it's okay, but you're not like, let me get drunk off Sazerac tonight.
No, but Vieux Carré, I'm like, let me get fucking waxed. Because that's the kind of drink where like by the third one, you're like, this is going to be problematic and I'm going to do it. I don't care. You know what I mean? It's like one of those where like, oh, this is going to be dirty. It's going to be a dirty night, bruh. But that's the best kind. I fucking love that shit. But
yeah,
I haven't drank yet. I haven't drank since the quarantine started.
Have you really not? Why?
I don't, dude, I'm trying to, like, for me personally, I don't know how you feel, but, like, I'm, you know, I'm trying to, like, take vitamins and eat vegetables and, like, because to me, it's, like, my immune system's always been pretty top-notch, but, like, I want to keep it that way. But, I mean, I'm going to drink at some point.
So what I was doing is I wasn't smoking weed or, because I was like, oh, weed's okay, and then I saw this thing, like, no, cannabis is not. I'm like, well, I guess there's a vape, and it's like, vapes are terrible for you.
Yeah, vapes are, fuck that.
Like, fuck.
So I didn't until we did a full week of quarantine, and I'm like, I haven't gotten anything yet.
Yeah.
So occasionally I could smoke a J or edibles, I'll still do. But like, yeah, I'm trying to limit it and do tons of vitamins. And like, if I do come in contact with it, I want to fight it off. Dude, but now I'm not coming in contact with it anymore.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. My parents are quarantined. I'm quarantined. We're just doing like delivery, groceries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then it's just like, well, I can fuck around now. But I get what you're saying. I like the fact that you are doing that. I was trying to get Jay to quit smoking and it's not going to happen. So, but I'm glad you are cutting down on drinking for this.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, like, I might, like, tomorrow, April 1st is tomorrow. It's Caitlin's 30th birthday, which fucking blows for her. Mm-hmm. Like, her 30th birthday in quarantine. But we might, you know, we have some booze. We have some fucking booze. We stocked up. So we
have, like, one night.
Yeah, pop a bottle of wine or a couple of bottles of wine, just pee to bed, you know?
And just I like it. My nephew is bar mitzvah, supposed to be in, like, 3 weeks. And he's like, it's not fair. And my sister has to be like, well, sweetheart, it's not fair to a lot of people.
Wait, but do you get fucked up at your bar mitzvah?
Not at your own, no.
No, okay.
But you just can't have a bar mitzvah.
Dude, I got Manischewitz at a gas station in South Carolina once. Just because it was there, and I was like, you guys have Manischewitz? And I'm like, I've never actually had it. And Caitlin was like, get some. Fuck, it's disgusting, because she grew up. What'd you think? I liked it. I don't know I mean, it's weak. You could tell
it's sweet.
Yeah, it's sweet and it's got no booze in it, barely. But like, dude, I imagine it's like a 16-year-old. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Get a hold of a bottle of Manischewitz and just get. Because you remember when you're like 16 and you can drink like, you can just have like two sips of something. You're like, dude, I'm fucking hammered.
Yeah.
Well, I'm crazy, man. Dude, we did one time when I was like 21, me and some friends, we threw a party where we got a keg of Coors Cutter. You remember that shit?
No.
Coors Cutter was Coors's version of O'Doul's. Right? Non-alcoholic beer. And we had a fucking keg party where it was a keg of non-alcoholic beer just to see everyone get fucking trashed. And it was amazing. Because some people
started acting like it.
Yeah, people, like, certain people started being like, I'm fucked, you know, like, just, they were fucked up. And you were like, in your head, you're like, it was like me and five other guys who knew there was no
food. They were faking.
Yeah, we were all drinking, like, we had, like, just bottles of beer we were drinking. And no one seemed to notice, but it was like, wow, there are certain people who are fucking trashed right now. And they're not.
And they're not. Yeah. Oh, it's the best. When they're like, I must be. Like, fucking 14-year-old idiot.
Yeah. I had like five of these, dude. No, I mean, we were like, it was all, no, that, no, it's the thing. We're all 21-year-olds and early 20s and shit. Yeah. It was like adults. Like, people still fucked up, you know? It's crazy, dude. Cause I even wonder sometimes, like, do you feel like you can control your tolerance at all?
What do you mean?
Like, I feel like if I don't want to get shit faced, I can like prolong the inevitable shit facedness.
Nope. I do not feel like that in any way.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Maybe I have a power. Like, I honestly feel like if I want to be drunker faster, I get drunker faster and not drinking more alcohol, just drinking what I normally would. But maybe I'm psychosomatically tripping myself out to believe that I'm not drinking as much when I'm drinking 10 times as much because I want to be more fucked up. Yeah, I think I'm making sense.
Maybe.
Anyway. Yeah, dude. I'm looking forward to getting drunk with people again so much. It's insane. Like, that's all.
Dude, I built this whole podcast studio. And
I saw the video.
What?
I saw the video where you get, when you like gave the tour.
And half of what I wanted to do is, at the stand on a Wednesday night, and it's like a, you know, 10 o'clock show ended at 11:30, and we're there drinking. I want to be like, "Hey guys, let's go back to the fucking, let's keep drinking over at my studio. We'll just do a drunk podcast."
Oh, like, dude!
Once a week, I wanted to do that at minimum.
Wait, where was it? Where is it?
East Village.
It's in the East Village.
Yeah, it's a 10-minute walk from the stand.
It'll still be there, man. It'll still be there,
but yeah, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
Hopefully in the warm. But it's like, that's one of the things I want to do. Like, me, you, Joe DeRosa, Norman, we're like, let's get back. Don't worry, I got liquor. Just come with me.
And we just do like midnight sessions, call it that. Yeah.
Midnight to whatever.
Call it fucking midnight session.
Shoot the shit drunk.
And just record.
Yeah, just record. I know how to like record, 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 video, audio, go. Let's go.
Dude, the midnight sessions, those would be some fucking amazing episodes of just like, and like, but everyone has to agree, no editing.
No editing, yeah.
Like when you walk, it's like you agree that when you walk through the door, it's like a waiver you just signed. Like whatever you say is going.
And you have to tell the audience, like, guys, whoever was talking here was drunk off their mind. You cannot hold them to this. They were drunk.
Yeah, it's DeRosa is emotional. He's going to unload.
Can I just say that you guys, to have you here with me?
Yeah. Oh, dude. Oh, fucking. Oh, DeRosa. You miss him and that dumb tattoo on his arm. I can't remember what it is. It's so dumb.
All of them?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, Sean. Well, fucking nice talking to you, man.
Yeah, dude. Oh, fuck, dude. We're at over 2 hours now. Pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a good one.
I got an understanding of a little what it was like in Katrina, but I think it's like similar to that, but just like worldwide instead of like localized.
It's worldwide, and it, I don't know. Yeah, it's by choice.
So. You know, the weird thing too is like, so I noticed, so there's different stages early on. Now it's hit the main stage now, but for like almost like couple days, or even like morning to afternoon, it would change the vibe in New York.
Oh yeah, man.
And like, for a while, it was like everyone's being really nice and neighborly, like hello, holding the door, stuff like that, talking like, can you believe this is crazy? Until they told us, like, they were saying like nobody over 200 people. Like, right. Oh wow, okay, all the shows are shut down. Broadway's going to be shut down. And we were talking face to face about how crazy that was. And they're like, hey, maybe 50 people. And we're like, still talking. And then they're like, 6 feet away. And so the instinct is to go hug your neighbor and be friends with your neighbor. But like, you actually, it's so weird because you can't even do that.
Dude,
let me go around my family. No, don't.
I mean, dude, I think about when I fucking left New York on March 9th and flew to LA, and my sister and her girlfriend came to meet me in LA because it was her birthday, and we just hung out in Venice, and it was like March 10th. It was like, all right, this shit's weird, but we're all still hanging out, partying, and then we were in San Diego, and by Sunday, by the end of the week, it was like, get home wherever you live. The whole fucking, especially New York, it's like shit's getting locked down. And in California, it was like Saturday night, it was like, yeah, whatever, just no more than 200 people. And by like Sunday afternoon, it was like, we're thinking about no more than 10 people. No more than 10 people. And then by Monday morning, it was like the whole state, everything.
Don't go out. Don't talk to anybody. Stay 6 feet. Yeah. Yeah, they were like San Francisco. It's just San Francisco. I'm like, you mean a 6 hour drive from you?
Yeah, it's dude, like, it was fucking crazy. Dude. Yeah, my sister and her friend ended up like driving back to New Orleans because they didn't want to get on a flight.
Sure, you know?
And like, I get it. And like, yeah, and like the fucking dude, it was like, but it was, I can't. I mean, again, that is similar to Katrina right there. How like I remember like on, you know, by the beginning of that week. It was like, all right, well, there's another storm in the Gulf. We're monitoring it. And then all of a sudden it's like, get the fuck out. Get out of the city as fast as you can. Interstates went contra flow, which means one way, like both sides.
Just out. Only.
Just out, yeah.
So you couldn't come in during that?
No, you could. The day I left New Orleans, by the time I actually got, you could, yeah. But I mean, you probably get fucking, they had National Guards. Not National Guard, but like state troopers already fucking patrolling that shit. The day I finally left New Orleans, I left New Orleans because I was at a bar with my buddy. There were a lot of people who were like, I'm not leaving. And we're at this bar called The Balcony on Magazine. Still there.
I love it.
And fucking fuckers started walking in with like sheets of plywood to board up the windows from, on the actual balcony, because there was like the governor then declared, or it was then declared like a mandatory evacuation.
Wow.
That was a scary thing to fucking hear. Like now it's a mandatory evacuation. And it was like, oh, everyone leave the bar and then leave the city.
Where would they go? Like, so like I could, even then when I'm remembering this, I can remember people going like in my head, my upper middle class head, I'd go, yeah, well, you have to leave. But then later somebody's like, but what if you have nowhere to go to? And I was like,
I know,
yeah. Consider that.
fucking insane, dude. It was like, I went to Baton Rouge, which is like our northwest of New Orleans. That's where my sister at the time lived. She was in college still. And my dad.
Sister at the time?
No, my sister at the time was living there.
Okay. Yeah. So your sister.
My sister at the time, yeah. We are siblings. No, no.
She's long dead. Yep.
Yeah. You met my sister.
I met her.
Yeah, she's still there. But at the time she was in college. She lived there. My dad, my other sister, and my brother were there. My mom had to stay at the hospital. My mom's an RN, so she had to stay. Like, they had to leave her behind.
Whoa.
Damn. She had to stay. Yeah, she had to stay in the hospital. Yeah. It's fucking insane. And we didn't hear from her for like 6 days after the storm passed her.
Wow. She was just smoking reefer.
Just getting high.
She was like, no, it was fine for 3 days, but she was like, let me enjoy this time.
Dude, it was definitely fucking crazy because my dad, by day three, is still trying to pretend like it's normal that we hadn't heard from her. And by like day five, he was like, it was crazy. He was a fucking shell of a man. And then she finally called him.
He'd start letting it in like, fuck, what if she's gone?
Oh yeah, dude. I remember. I mean, I talked about this in that show I did in Edinburgh a couple years ago, but I was the only other person awake when she finally called. And I remember like being on the front porch with my sisters. She lived in like a house. Smoking a cigarette and like listening to like my dad's phone, hearing my dad's phone ring because he had a Nextel. Remember those Nextel phones? They were the phones that you could like,
Yeah.
But it had a very annoying, very high pitched like ring when it rang, and it started ringing. And it was like 3:30-ish in the morning. And it was like, there was no one else was going to be calling except my mom. Or the person calling to say that my mom's dead. It was like, it's one of those two people. And I heard he answered and then didn't say anything. And then like you just heard him go, hello. And then he said nothing for like what felt like, you know, weeks, but it was probably only seconds. And then he broke down loudly fucking sobbing. And it was a moment of like, all right, are you sobbing because someone just said Rebecca Patton dead or because it's her? And then he finally acknowledged it was her. And it was like a very... crazily emotional moment where I'm like trying to pretend like it doesn't affect. I'm like, I'm fine, whatever. But deep down inside, I'm like beyond relieved, you know. But yeah, like it was also a thing where it was like earlier I said I've come in contact with people whose parents are divorced, and it's almost like they try and hold it over me because my parents aren't divorced.
Yeah.
Like, no, my parents were worse than divorced. They were in love, still lost. So there's a fucking gross level of connection that I could never reach. You know what I mean? Like, just like every divorced parent fucks up their kid with like trust issues, my parents fucked me up with like expectation issues. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Because they're disgusting and in love, and I will forever compare every relationship I've ever had or to that. And
it's, the one that sticks with it.
It's equally as much of a darn psyche bender. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of these people are like, well, you lasted fucking 4 weeks with your girlfriend. Congrats. You just beat your parents.
Yeah.
You have no expectations. It's an awesome place to be.
To me, it's like, you've been in, like I've been with my girlfriend for 6 years, and people are like, oh, that's a long time. I'm like, is it? Is it from birth? Did Caitlin and I know each other from the day we were born because we grew up next door to one another? No. So it's not enough, which is my parents grew up next door to one another.
Wow.
Yeah. It's fucking gross. All right.
You think we're a minority as comedians who have parents that are still together as mainstream comics or not?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's
definitely some. I'm wondering if it's like 50% or less than 50%.
I feel like it's 50, it's split down the middle in the two, it's two groups that don't talk anymore, but still love one another. But still, it's almost like talking to the audiences, like, look, audience. The divorced parents comedians and the comedians with parents still together. We're not talking right now, but we still love you.
You can't always tell because like you get a guy like Soder, like nice, really nice guy, put together, not fucked up and crazy. And they're like, his parents are still together, right? Like, no, not even close.
No. They've been fucking apart for it. His dad's an alcoholic.
Drunk dead guy. Yeah. Oh, interesting. So you can't always tell. But anyway, John Patton. On the podcast, 5 words with Sean Patton.
Yeah, get my album, Scuttlebutt.
What, Scuttlebutt?
Scuttlebutt. I dropped
new?
Yeah, it's a couple months old now. I love it. So get it. Scuttlebutt.
I wrote that in the fucking intro also. Scuttlebutt.
Yeah, thank you. On Helium Records.
That's right.
And yeah, five words on all things comedy. And
maybe a tour in late May.
Maybe a tour in late May with Adrian.
I mean, hopefully.
And motherfucker, ski trip shows again in 2021.
Yeah, I was really, when I went to Park City, it was like right before, it was still coming up. It was like March, I think, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, so like that.
Yeah.
2nd, 3rd, 4th, 6th. I had this thought of like, we should do a comedy, and like you've mentioned it before, but like an Ari Shaffir comedy festival. You don't mention who's it, and you get like 2 weeks in like Aspen or Vail or some shit like that. You don't say who's going to be there because we don't want anybody to have to commit. It's like, come for 3 days. We're going to do like a show every 2 days, some storytelling shows, some live stand-up shows, and just like pay for the whole thing, and just a bunch of comics hanging out, paid for by the fucking festival.
Fucking hey, dude. Call it
City Vail. Yeah.
Yeah, the Shlomo Comedy Bazaar.
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking love it. All right. Yeah.
Dude, John, stay safe, man.
You stay safe, stay clean. Give my love to Bandit.
Yeah, thanks.
And the lady. And yeah, thanks, man.
All right, I love you, man.
Love you back. We'll do.
That's the episode, everybody. Thank you very much, Sean Patton, for talking to me about Hurricane Katrina and having fun entertaining me so I'm not so bored with the same people all the time. Dude, people are going to fucking murder each other. I'm actually having fun. I'm not so far yet at the point where I want to murder anybody. My dog has learned whining, which is an unpleasant fucking new detail. But then when we saw this dog... thing online that says you're supposed to, like, if they're whining, you're not supposed to say what, you're not supposed to say no, because they're getting attention, even if it's negative attention. Dogs are so much like children and girlfriends. You got to train them. That's the only way they'll be. His comments on girlfriends. I love when people say comments about a comedian's jokes. Statements or comments. Oh, it's just like right away. Anytime you see any headline that says so-and-so's comments are like, nope. If it's a comedian, that's, you already missed the point. You're already part of the joke's on you. Anyway, Justin Silver has a good YouTube page too, an Instagram page, Language of Dogs. He's a comedian in New York, and he's a dog trainer also. And he really goes through all the fucking shit you gotta learn. But so they say when dogs are whining or shit like that, like, you know, just ignore them, because negative attention is a real kind of attention, just like kids and fucking abused, you know, those like kind of crazy women that start fights. If you don't, good for you, but also bad for you, because they fuck the best. They start fights just to start fights. And you're like, what the f-? And then you're like, and they're like, I'm sorry. But the fact is, they're getting attention, even if it's not good attention where you're like into them, but it's like they're happy that you're like watching them. And I'm telling you, kids whose parents don't fucking pay attention to do the same thing. They act up. And these dogs act, so you have to completely ignore them. And then when you do that, eventually after 5, 6, 7, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, they'll just stop and they'll go to their bed and fucking chill out. But anyway, so my point is, I don't want to kill anybody yet. I'm having a good time. It's been nice being in the suburbs. It's like just on the outskirts of Baltimore. It's in Baltimore proper, but it's like in the burbs of Baltimore. But it's weird because I don't have, like, this isn't my room. You know, I didn't grow up here. They moved like a year ago. So it's like,
I'm not even going home. I'm going to visit my parents. Yeah, I grew up in fucking near Washington, D.C. And this is like, I mean, it's only like an hour away, but it's a whole different. I was worried because there's a way more Jewish community, but there's no synagogue. There's no nothing. There's no community anymore. Everyone's in their own homes. It's fucking nuts. Sean was right. It's nuts. I mean, I wish there were bars with lock-ins. At least they had that in Katrina. Do you know you can't drink scotch during Pesach, during Passover, because of the fucking whatever's in there? Wheat. No beer, for sure. But it's supposed to be leavened bread. Wheat and beer is not leavened. I got to ask God about some of this shit. Anyway, guys, that's the episode. Do not forget to check out Sean Patton's podcast, 5 Words. On the All Things Comedy Podcast Network, or just on YouTube or iTunes anyway. 5 Words with Sean Patton. And don't forget, fucking Sunday night, tomorrow night at midnight, the first episode of Sixth and Jump with me, Dan Soder, and Jay Oakerson drops on Apple Podcasts. There's no more iTunes anymore, huh? Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Laughable, Stitcher, all that shit. The podcast will be up. And the video will be up on YouTube at youtube.com/skeptictank. The reason you want to watch that on YouTube is because by episode 4 of our show, we start to get episode 2 of 21 Jump Street. We start to be able to like put in clips and shit. Yeah, we're going to be able to play clips and talk about it. But the point is this. For the pilot episode for us, you don't have to watch anything. We discuss what we're going to do. Then we'll just tell you before the next one, you're going to have to watch the first half of. We thought said the whole thing, but it's just the first half. We had so much to talk about. So the first half of the pilot episode of 21 Jump Street, it's a two-parter. So just watch the first part. And then the third episode of us will be the second part of the pilot. And then the fourth episode will be episode 2. Of 21 Jump Street, and then on and on. So you pretty much just have to watch, which will buy you 45 minutes of fucking quarantine time, watch an episode of 21 Jump Street. It's ridiculous how old it looking it is. It's crazy. And then, you know, join in with us as we talk about it. You'll have a few days to talk about, you know, to watch the next episode to while your fucking wife or your kids fucking shut the fuck up for a second so you can watch some goddamn Detective Hanson. And then that's it. What was I going to say? Guys, please subscribe to the new YouTube channel, youtube.com/skeptitank. I know I'm pushing this a lot, but I want you to subscribe. There'll be different playlists for different things. So there'll be a yoga playlist just for that shit. It's going to be 30 straight days and then like intermittently after that. There's going to be a Skeptitank playlist, a Sixth and Jump playlist, and then probably something else playlist. I was going to start another podcast, and that would also be on there too. But one of the podcasts we're going to start is just like similar in tone or idea to this Sixth and Jump. So I'll probably hold off on that and maybe just do the album review podcast. You know those album reviews that I do on this a lot? I'm going to push that into its own feed and then just do more of them. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Origin for Skeptic episode 381. Katrina, the good old days with Sean Patton. Over and out.